For every winning team, a key to success is learning the playbook. That's true in football, and it's also true as we take on the coronavirus. The spread of the coronavirus is a serious matter, but there's a game plan for keeping residents as safe as possible. Everyone has a role to play as we face this challenge together. Cover your cough with your elbow like this. Wash your hands thoroughly, a full 20 seconds. If you're sick, stay home. If you think you should be tested, phone your health provider first. Avoid close contact with anyone who's sick. Protect your at-risk family members, including the elderly. If you're not at risk, take care as you go about your daily business. Get the facts now from coronavirus.gov and your state health department. We're all in this together. Let's team up to protect our health.
I just did a little live talking about how I'm sick because we're all sick and the kids' schools are closed, so we're all home and it's raining and the stores are out of toilet paper and we have 7 butts to wipe and no toilet paper to be found.
Coronavirus!
Just what I want to think about Tori Spelling and her 5 brats. Ugh. And what's her husband's name?
Dean.
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 Yeah, I want to think about them wiping their asses.
Ugh.
While she talks with Vocal Fry.
Ugh.
And prior to that was Ed Orgeron,
yes,
the LSU coach,
yeah,
advising us, coaching us,
yeah,
through the coronavirus.
Can Trump put him on the task force just so he can be at some of the press conferences?
I'd be a good representative of that. I could definitely do it.
I think he kicks ass.
Yeah.
I thought he did a great job.
You know what you're talking about.
Great.
By the way, is it really that hard to wash your hands that we have to be taught by so many people?
I guess so.
Oh, you know, play the hook of a song, the length of a hook of a song, that's about as long as you...
I guess so, man. It's...
Is washing your fucking hands this hard?
I will say this, 20 seconds seems like forever when you're washing your hands, doesn't it?
I can't, it's...
Oh, it's just me?
20 seconds?
You always washed your hands for 20 seconds.
I don't know if I took 20 seconds.
That's my point. It takes forever now.
Well, I just don't think this should be this hard for all of us to figure out. But
hey, there's a lot of dumb people out there.
We've got some more hand-washing advice coming up. And I really want to leave the coronavirus behind pretty early in the show so we can move on to some kind of distracting... I just do not want to be the coronavirus headquarters. Although I did watch Outbreak and Contagion over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. I watched Contagion, too. It's great.
It's not bad. Outbreak. That's Matt Damon, Gwyneth Paltrow. Who else is
in? No, that's Contagion.
Contagion, I mean.
So, yeah.
Who else is in that?
Well, my 3 takeaways were number one, that Lawrence Fishburne, who I believe is a doctor at the CDC, is very selfish. Because, remember, he kept the cure for his family and friends.
Yeah.
Very, very selfish. Number two is never party with Gwyneth Paltrow.
No.
She's patient zero.
And she fucks around on Damon.
Well, yeah, and that's step number three, is that Matt Damon is a total cuck.
Yeah, I know. He's
total,
such
total
a zero.
Cuck, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's such a good movie. So Brandon and I were talking about all the viral movies, like 25 Days
Matt
Later.
Damon.
28 Days Later.
28 Days Later,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
That movie freaks me out. Is that the one their eyes get all red?
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of zombies. I always like, my personal favorite is still 12 Monkeys.
Oh, yeah, 12 Monkeys. Yeah, it's
a
good movie.
Virus put out in the world on purpose.
Okay. Yeah,
12 Monkeys is
great.
Write that down.
I thought the head of the CDC today gave some great advice.
If someone gets infected, you've got between 10 and 20 seconds to kill them. It might be your brother or your sister or your oldest friend. It makes no difference.
You just got to kill those people. That's from 28 Days
I saw Dr. Fauci talking about that. Same thing. Good advice.
You have 10 to 20 seconds to kill them.
Outbreak. Is
ridiculous.
Is such a stupid movie. We did a Cliff Notes Theater for it too, and I was trying to remember. Oh, did we get that part in Cliff Notes? I don't know if we fully covered it, but it is the Me Too movie cast.
Yeah,
with Dustin Hoffman, Kevin Spacey,
canceled.
Morgan Freeman,
canceled,
and Cuba Gooding,
canceled.
I completely forgot. He's the worst actor, by the way. He's horrible.
He's pretty bad.
He's so bad in this movie. And I don't know how many people have seen Outbreak. Have you guys seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was ages ago, but yeah.
The part of the movie where Cuba and Dustin just steal a helicopter to fly to some government office to find out, you know, what was shipped on this,
yeah,
this one trip. And then they fly to the tanker to find out what it was. And they find out it's a monkey because the guy's pictures of a monkey under his bunk or under the bunk on top of him.
I don't remember that part.
Yeah, they say, oh, a monkey. He's got a picture of a monkey. Here's a monkey.
Why do you have a picture of a monkey? What a weirdo.
I flew in on a helicopter.
And then somehow, while they're flying on this chopper again, while they're going back to, you know, this town that they're trying to save, they come into the information that the monkey is behind this house. And what? This little girl has befriended this monkey.
And that little monkey gets loose, doesn't he?
It's just so stupid. So then they have to go to the house. Meanwhile, they're being, you know, the government is going to bomb this town, just destroy it, yeah, even good. Though they don't
Great
need
call.
To.
They should. They totally should.
And Dustin Hoffman's ex-wife, Renee Russo, is just getting disgusting because she has the Multaba virus. Wait, what's it called? Yeah. Well, it's whatever the virus is. She has, and she's just getting disgusting. Spacey is all gross, too.
Oh, yeah. Who's more gross, Renee Russo when she gets sick or Gwyneth Paltrow in Contagion? Because Gwyneth Paltrow, when she got sick, looks pretty gross.
She's pretty gross.
I do like it when they pull her head back, though, for the autopsy.
Oh, yeah, in the autopsy. Oh, good.
The doctor's like, call everyone.
It's like Ray Liotta in Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, Animal.
What do you do? Oh, my God.
Some of her best acting. I got to give her credit. She just laid there dead.
So wild. Anyway, they have
Which
to go to
Which one was
this
worse,
house.
Renee Russo or Gwyneth Paltrow? Who?
Renee Russo is disgusting. I think Paltrow's grosser, though.
Okay.
Kevin Spacey looks like he's got lesions on his face.
Oh.
Kind of looks like he's got AIDS. I'm just saying. I'm observing. If anybody can tell me I'm wrong, I mean... You know, of course, we know so much more about Kevin Spacey now.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I wish it on him or anything, although a lot of people would.
Wish AIDS upon him.
Cover your cough with your elbow like this.
So they fly back, and they have to go to this house where this little girl has to coach this monkey because she's befriended the monkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're friends.
And Cuba Gooding has to shoot it with a dart.
Yeah.
You know, and the girl is in the way.
Well, take them both out. Easy choice. I mean, why?
So stupid. The drama.
There's the question there.
I thought it was pretty easy.
I mean, come on. One little girl or the rest of humanity? Pretty easy choice.
And Morgan Freeman is a bad guy in the movie who becomes kind of a good guy at the end. Donald Sutherland is just evil.
Yeah, didn't he want to blow up the town?
Yeah, he wanted to blow everything up.
Should have.
So it was so stupid, I kind of enjoyed watching it. I mean, it was that bad. And then also, I kind of finished up Love is Blind on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, if anybody's got any good binge watches or any good Netflix or Apple TV or anything good that you want to recommend, we should be talking about this because everybody has got to exhaust their Netflix and
all these
things.
Well, I was excited. Actually, Charlotte was. You know, it's funny, this whole COVID-19 or whatever you want to call it, it's really a generational split, right? Because there's going to be kids that don't ever remember this happening, and then everybody that has the memory of it.
Because you mean they're too little?
Well, even at six, she's very aware of it. She's learning about viruses, just tons of stuff. But she was really excited when we told her that Disney Plus was releasing Frozen 2 3 months early because of the coronavirus.
Well, maybe she'll remember that.
So we watched it this morning.
Charlotte.
Cool.
It's a bunch of bullshit.
She was thrilled. I know.
I'm kind of mad at that.
Paid for it.
Yeah, I bought it because Kristen wanted to watch it with the little girl. Yeah. And so we dropped like $22 on it.
Kristen wanted to watch it with who?
I have a daughter named Madeline.
Wait, Madeline's one and a half. What's how old is she?
Dude, she loves Frozen. Dude.
She doesn't even know what's on.
Dude, she can sing one of that Into the Unknown song already. Yeah.
Annie watched it for like 10 minutes and then went on to something else. I don't got time for this.
Dude, Frozen is
Madeline did the
jam.
Same thing. I don't know why you're fantasizing it. Madeline got the movie.
It ends up with Brandon just watching it on the couch by himself.
No, dude, I'm telling you. I'll show you some videos of this girl going nuts if she sees Elsa or Anna or Kristoff or Sven. I know them all now.
Can we call Madeline right now and ask her if she can name anyone in the movie?
Well, so she's got this mat in front of the television, and it's got all five major characters. And she'll go to it, and she'll point at one until we say the name. Or I'll ask her, "Hey, where's Olaf?" And she'll point at it.
I want a video. I want to like a video of this, and I want to make sure it's unedited, no prompting.
Let me see if I can get one right now. Kristen's at home.
Annie just calls everybody in it Anna. Although she knows who the different ones are too. It's crazy how that's so just drilled into their brain, such a young age.
Love is Blind. It's really a pretty good watch. It reminded me of Marriage at First Sight, which is on
TLC.
Okay, whatever it is. I am really fascinated by these people in their 20s who just go, hey, I got everything going. I got my career. I got my degrees. And I just need to knock out this marriage thing. And some of the girls, of course, are like, yeah, my eggs are dying every day. And I got to start banging out some kids. And so they just
A&E, by the way, is the network, A&E.
Oh, A&E. So they want, you know, the girls and the guys, even when the person doesn't seem to be the right person, they're like, well, somebody put all the computer stuff together and decided that we belong. You know, it's sort of like looking for recommendations online for something. They trust that more than their parents.
Algorithms. They all love algorithms.
And so,
never steered them wrong. Except for, you know, on Facebook or Twitter.
So you get these combinations, and it's amazing. Love is Blind, they put the girls and the guys are on in pods, just like the Bachelor pod on Rick Rockwell. Would you marry a millionaire?
Yeah, who wants to marry a multi? Yeah. Wasn't it multi-millionaire?
Was it multi?
First thing was, he's not a multi-millionaire.
No, he wasn't. Anyway, so they're on the opposite sides of this wall. They can't see each other. And so the point is, you know, can people learn that love is blind because they've never met? And when they're on opposite ends of the wall and they don't, and I'm convinced they must have told them that, just trust me, she's going to be hot, whoever she is, because they're so likable and they just fall madly in love. And of course, then once they're, you know, physically in touch, like, oh my God, she's hot as hell. And the guys are good looking too. So everybody's really happy. And, you know, they're on a honeymoon in Mexico or somewhere.
Yep.
I believe it's,
I love your eyes.
It's Cancun. Anyway, they're so happy. But then they get back to real life, and all of a sudden it's like, fuck, I don't care what you look like. You're nothing like the chick behind that wall. You were such an ass kid. Everybody's so nice. And then this one girl, Janina, who is really cute, man. In fact, you know who looks like, I swear to God, Kennedy?
Yeah, I said the same
like
thing.
Janina. Isn't it amazing?
I said the exact same thing when I saw her.
And she's it's a nice compliment for Kennedy, because Janina is beautiful, and she's got just a killer body. And she's with this guy, Damien, who, I mean, they're just so perfect for each other.
He's
and
a
then
cry
all of a sudden,
baby.
He's such a baby. And then, have you watched a little bit of this?
God damn it.
Oh, really? Again.
I tried to avoid this one. And I tried to tell, you know, to keep it away from Kristen. Well, eventually she found out about it and she just binged it.
Do you ever get to watch anything? Do you ever get to watch anything you want to watch?
Oh, yeah. Lots of sports lately. And normally I watch my shows separate. She doesn't like the death stuff. She doesn't like The Witcher. She hates all zombie stuff. She doesn't like the action adventure. So when I watch that stuff, I'll watch it on my own.
A lot of chicks like action adventure. By the way, there's a good movie on Netflix with Marky Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, I saw that. I think it's number one.
It's not bad. It's not a bad movie. I mean, if you like action adventure, you might like it.
Not bad, huh?
But Damien, once, you know, psycho Janina comes out in real life, not that this would be like Kennedy, not that Kennedy at all.
Yeah, you never know.
Like, just saying. I'll never know. But anyway, Janina, she just causes fights.
Great, one of those, huh?
Yeah, she's like, yeah, you know, when we first got together and I get butterflies all the time, I don't get butterflies anymore. Meaning like when they fuck and stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then she goes,
it's a normal relationship.
And then she goes, every time we bang, I have to be the one that initiates it.
Yeah. And it's not mind-blowing sex.
Oh, God. High maintenance.
Oh, yeah. She turns into such a drag. And he starts going, well, there's a lot of stuff I don't like, too. Like when you use the GD word.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're a little softer.
She goes, oh, my God. Are you really saying this? And
damn it!
It's like, I don't like oh my God either. I mean, this guy just, there's a zillion things he doesn't like, and these people are pretty inflexible. But
make him a meal and a card and say, hey, I'm sorry about my thighs, but this is as good as it gets.
And just
God
like,
damn it!
The best part is just like The Bachelor, they have a wedding and they go up to say their vows, and that's when the person decides whether they want to get married or not.
Oh, great. Great move.
And like,
well, I mean, that's time management, really.
Three out of the five, one person says, no, I don't want to get married. And of course, everybody's bawling and the families are there.
which is great.
I know, they travel all that way.
Every time they try to get really serious about something, Nick Lachey walks in, and it's just like, oh, come on.
He's so horrible for that show. Isn't he the worst thing on that show? Except for his wife. She might be just as bad.
She's pretty cute, though.
She's very cute, but he's so fake. He's like, okay, so you've done this, and we're going to find out if love is blind. And he just seems so fucking fake. It's just terrible.
Why? Because the show's so real?
Well, he seems more fake than the show, I swear to God. I swear to God, I know people are going to agree with me.
That's great.
Oh, man. And Marriage at First Sight
for this
is really interesting, too, because the people, again, when they first, oh, my God, you're beautiful, and we're getting married. This is crazy, and we're going to work it out.
Well, I want you two to kiss each other.
And everyone's good looking, and of course, then they find out that, oh, my God, he
this
lies.
This person's real, yeah.
This is one girl finds out that this guy she married, it's this black girl with this black dude, and they seem really nice, but turns out he lies like a motherfucker. Yeah. He lies about everything. He said he was running some yoga studio. Turns out he was cleaning it up.
Oh!
It's like the maintenance dude.
Oh, that's quite a stretch.
The
therapist
pretty much asks him, well, you know, have you been lying a lot? And he's like, yeah, I guess I've been lying a little bit.
A little bit.
That's a big revelation where he's like, by the way, I got to tell you that I used to be gay.
Oh, that's the guy we played back, right?
Yeah, the black guy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the other guy.
Yeah, he's bisexual.
And she calls him like butt boy or something. She's yelling at him.
Well, she's canceled. You can't say that.
But he had already been canceled for the crap he'd said to her. He was a tart. And he threw the ring in the pool.
Oh, no. Did they get it back?
I don't know. They showed him getting out of the water a little bit later. I thought, oh, he went to get the ring.
Was it a Neil Lane ring?
No, it wasn't. But Neil Ring was the Bachelor finale.
Yeah. Oh, he
was
there?
For no apparent reason.
Oh, the first plug.
With the plug. Or so Maz would talk about him. Maz adores Neil Lane. I don't know what the thing
know.
Is.
I don't know why. I'm worried about Maz getting coronavirus, by the way.
How come?
He had something on his social media about an event coming up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't want to say where it is or anything. And all I can think of is, that looks like a social gathering.
Is it the rap with Maz's live somewhere?
No, it was.
Oh, I know what it is. I know what it is. Yeah. So, because some businesses are still trying to stay.
I'll be right back.
You know, some businesses are still trying to keep going, keep making money.
I know.
And so, yeah, some places are going to try to stay open.
In fact, supposed to be practicing social distancing, another word we just learned.
Social distancing isn't working well. You know, they tell all the college students, hey, you guys are off school. We don't want to get everybody together. And what do? They go to the bars and they completely pack the bars out.
Yeah, Michigan State's president had to send a very mean email to everybody, all these students, to say, knock it off.
But it's not just the bars. I mean, everybody is going to the stores en masse to try to get certain things, so they're all together there. Everybody's going to the airport. They're all together there.
Well, I know, but you're supposed to avoid it. By the way, did you know who Michigan State's president was? I, saw his name. This story is the first time I saw his name.
They named a new president? The last I knew, Engler was president.
His name is Stanley Samuel.
When was he named president?
Sam, I don't know. It just said Michigan State president.
Not announced it because they figured something terrible would come out about him.
I guess. Yeah. Has anyone looked into his old tweets?
Stan!
But he had to send that email.
He's Facebook friends with Nasser.
I'm very concerned and troubled by the photos and media coverage I've seen of crowded student lines at local East Lansing bars over the past few days.
Well, the school's out. There's no school, so they're partying.
Yeah, and they're young, and so they feel on top of the world, and they're never going to get anything, and so they want to party. Yep.
Well, is she South Beach?
Huh?
She's South Beach?
I know.
Oh my God.
They all have it.
Raging spring break.
They have it.
They just shut the beach down.
The mayor has it.
The mayor has it.
In Miami.
Oh, my God.
Basically, everybody has it now.
I got, by the way, an email. I won't mention the place, but it's a bar in Ann Arbor.
Yes.
That is, they disinfect beyond the industry average. They are they're limiting capacity and hours so they can have the St. Patrick's Day celebration.
All right, party,
which is on.
Oh, cool. isn't it just a matter of time till all of that's canceled by the state?
Absolutely.
I mean, Oakland County.
I would think so.
Oakland County already said to cut your occupancy in half by 50%. Is that going to really do anything?
social distancing is created.
Didn't we say 2 weeks ago, like, let's just take the month of March off, everybody. Don't do anything.
I think it's a great idea.
Too late now.
The CDC guy, you know, who's at all the Trump press conferences, he today was saying, yeah, he's for anything that limits people being gathering together. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we cancel our show. There's only three of us.
We're practicing social distancing. We're 6 feet away from each other.
Yeah.
It looks like I might be within 6 feet of Brandon.
Well, then you two.
I mean, if we're all isolating.
No, I want you two to kiss each other.
If we're all isolating pretty much, which we are.
Yes, I'm not worried.
Then I'm really not worried. LaDuff, maybe I should be careful about him.
Oh, really?
I don't think he's been out.
Oh, I wiped the crap out of this microphone.
I had my tax guy come over, and Kristen's like, oh, my God, what are you doing? What's he doing here?
Tax guy.
He's good. He's
good. The tax guy's not going to be a partier.
But he probably did you shake his hand?
Actually, I did shake his hand, and he goes, whoa. I don't think we're supposed to be doing this. And I was like, yeah.
Dave, my tax guy, wouldn't shake my hand.
Good call. He's with Plant Moran. That's why. Plant Moran has it together.
And they're down there in the CompuWare building, and I was down there the first day that Rock or what are they called? Quicken? No, yeah. Not Quicken. What is their name? Rocket Mortgage.
Oh,
because they were all gone, and it was a ghost town downtown.
Yeah,
so I was not touching any door with bare hands.
So I got a lot of messages and tweets directed my way because people were basically just kind of asking why I was flippant on this whole coronavirus. I've also received.
Yeah, I think Brandon and Trump are taking more shit than anyone.
Well, when you go online.
And rightfully so, Brandon more than Trump.
I don't mind. When you go online, you often see comments where people will say something and then you're not taking it seriously, you're taking it too seriously, and they're fighting and they're battling. And you know, where I came from this whole thing is I've seen.
Sounds like some backpedaling is coming up.
But I've seen a ton of illnesses throughout the years. I've seen Ebola. I've seen cholera, yellow fever, Zika virus. That was so crazy for a while. Zika
SARS!
Virus. SARS, which is coronavirus. Just a different
version, yeah.
Yeah, which.
Wait, what was there? Was another one during Obama's administration?
Swine flu.
H1N1.
Which was a massive. I've seen all those mumps, smallpox, and I've also seen that life goes on and that we've gotten over those.
I remember mumps being quite that bad.
Also, it doesn't matter. It exists. Yellow fever, meningitis, whatever. Now,
and what
AIDS, smallpox.
And what did people tell you that whole time is that we took precautions with all those. You forget about that aspect
of it. There is an aspect of how far you take precautions, because I've also seen Y2K. I saw people panic about Y2K. I saw people panic about 9/11 and gas prices right afterwards. 2012, the end of the world. How about Tylenol murders? You know, in Chicago, or the Tickle Me Elmo.
You weren't even born then.
What are you talking about?
I remember that when I was a kid.
I remember that.
And then
in this
heightened world where social media takes everything to the extremes, to the point where we're canceling everything.
We needed to cancel everything, though. We should have
had
2 weeks earlier.
My point is, the way I look at this whole outlook is, I do believe that a lot of it is still, and I will say this, even though a bunch of people are going to get really mad at me.
You'll have support. I promise you. There are a lot of people who think this is just crazy. In fact, you want to play the media, the guy blaming the media?
Yeah, I'll play that.
Public freakout.
I don't want to associate myself necessarily with this guy.
You guys are peas in a pod.
Yeah,
no,
yes, you
true.
Are.
Your Facebook time, friends.
But at the same time, no one's going to know exactly where it ends until it's over with. So
that's why we're not taking chances, because we all want to be alive.
And then everyone's going
to
go.
Our grandparents to be alive and our parents.
But are we setting a precedent for the next time that this weird strain comes out?
We have
to shut everything down?
Hopefully, if we need to, yes.
All right. Well, here's my main man. He's in the... there's like a live...
You realize we're going to have a coronavirus season now. This thing is not going away.
But we'll have a vaccine.
Okay.
Trump's trying to bribe the Germans, who they think have the vaccine,
They also tell we're about a year and a half away. So.
We've eradicated almost every ailment in the past for the most part. We put robots on Mars and video games on my cell phone. We have virtual porn, Mark. Virtual porn. So
play your lover on Public Freakout.
So I figured that, you know, I have faith in humanity and I think that we're going to conquer this thing. I'm not a pussy about it.
Boy, that sounds like a total back. Neither am I. It sounds like a total backtrack, though.
It's not a backtrack.
True.
All right, here's this.
Sounds like he's straining news. Explain
really
to me.
Does.
It's in the parking lot of a grocery store where a telecast is just doing, you know, a live shot.
At 6 a.m. at a Costco or something.
Yeah, and here comes a guy in the parking lot who's very mad at the media.
Who's being number one. We'll talk to you guys a little bit later.
It's your fault that people are freaking out here. You all are the ones that are at fault. This is no worse than the flu.
You're the one here at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Nice comeback.
I'm reacting to other people.
Well, you don't have to react.
Okay, how would you know about the other people, idiot? Well,
no, call your
because he watches the media overreacting.
Thank you.
Scum of the earth.
Nice comeback!
I don't even blame the Chinese.
What?
I don't blame them at all. They did everything right.
The Chinese?
You all that are hyping things
really?
Up. Goodbye. Have a good morning.
Chinese denied it for 2 months.
I don't blame China.
I know who you are. We're friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
Brandon's buddy.
It's not my buddy. Now, obviously, this thing has blown up to proportions I never saw coming in terms of shutting down the entire
fucking world. There were two people in this room yelling at you for a week telling you it was going to be like this, and this week's going to be worse.
I'm saying when all is said and done, Mark, you're acting like we're looking at literally millions of deaths. What do you think?
I think it's very possible.
What do you want to go back on? And, you know, maybe in 6 months we'll look back and see exactly where this is. How many deaths are you predicting right now?
Worldwide?
Literally. Yeah, how many deaths are you predicting? No, I'll just say U.S. deaths.
U.S. deaths?
I don't know.
You
know
that's a great subject. Somebody else, Tony Paul, had
probably
a tweet.
Probably a million and a half.
Tony Paul was trying to predict the opening day for Tigers.
Yeah.
Which I think, these are kind of fun to do. I don't wish anyone any harm over it, but Tony said June 1st, and...
No, later.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I thought June 1st was actually a pretty good prediction.
I gotta tell you, when the CDC said, yeah, you know what, school's pretty much done for the year. This 3 weeks thing, no. We're talking 8 to 12. That says a lot. That says a lot, man.
Except that, what that doesn't take into account is how successfully we socially distance... And how successfully...
How's that going so far?
I think it's going pretty well. Now, granted, the customs situation was horrible. And I don't know how anybody could not... Can someone anticipate this? I know there's going to be fuck-ups. It's not going to be perfect. No.
Could they anticipate what happened at the clearing at these airports? I don't think so. I don't think they thought it was going to be that slow. I don't think the government thought it would be that slow.
They thought what would be that slow? You mean the customs on
the screening,
Saturday night?
The screening, yeah. The CDC screening. Did you really think it was going to be that bad, that slow?
I guess I didn't even think about it. I did know that people were panicked trying to get back into the state before the deadline.
Denied.
Well, because there's a lack of information.
But there's a lot of
I don't
things.
Know how you can...
I mean, it's easy to second guess, and I'm trying not to do that for the most part. It's like, what can we do going forward instead of going, well, fucking China,
I would agree with that, yeah.
And, you know, but we can do better going forward. We certainly can do better. And... As far as the testing, it's getting better, and it better be a lot better in a week than it is right now.
Can't Amazon just ship like 10 tests to every household in America?
You would think so.
Per person, so you can test yourself every other day. Right?
I can't figure out why Korea tests so many fucking people, 200,000 people. There's only 50 million in the country.
Yeah.
And we have 380 million, and we've tested how many?
They're ready for it.
15,000,
20,000? Yeah. All I know is I want the healthcare plan the Utah Jazz are on because everybody in the Utah Jazz got tested.
Yeah, how is it that, you know, the kids who met with Robert, is it Robert?
Yeah.
The kids Colbert. Who...
Rudy Gobert.
Gobert. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of kids that he met with who he had his arms around, he took pictures with. They can't get tested. Yeah. And for some reason, all of his Utah Jazz teammates are tested. Now, wouldn't the kids who innocently met with this guy...
Kids are fine, though. They are. Kids are fine.
They probably
Even with flu, kids are tend to fight it off better. They have fevers so much.
It just seems that there are always going to be those cases where we go, wait, why wouldn't they do that? Why wouldn't, you know, I don't want to get too focused on that.
I saw something that took into account the Utah Jazz because they were tested in Oklahoma that combined the Utah Jazz accounted for 75% of the testing done in Oklahoma. That's why that Republican senator was so pissed about not having enough tests because the Jazz hogged them all. Mind you, these are very athletic and healthy people that will fight it off in no time.
Well, you would think that we'd be further along in the testing. And I, you know, with the advancement using Walmart and who's it, CVS and Amazon to help, it should, I know there was something wrong with this. The system was terribly wrong. There's no question early on. That should have been dealt with sooner. But nonetheless, it should be better, hopefully in the next week. The numbers will be skyrocketing because people are getting tested. So it's going to look really bad. But the fact is, these people have had it. More people have it than we know.
Yeah. A lot more stuff's going to get shut down, though. Illinois just shut down all restaurants and bars starting tomorrow.
Well, I'm surprised that New York hasn't shut the schools down. I'm blown away by that. Mind. Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
New York?
Cuomo also said, you know what? Everyone in New York has it. He just assumes that they all have it. Hey,
you know,
right.
This is what drives me insane, though. There's a guy who's a infectious disease expert, one of the big ones, who says, probably 150 million in the U.S. are going to get it.
Okay, now take 1%
and
of
1.5, you know, he says 1.5 million will die, and it's like,
there you go.
But that doesn't take into account how we can do better by social distancing, by closing things down, by not going out all the time.
Look, the real problem is I'm not worried about. If I get it, I think I'll fight it off, even though I don't think I'm that healthy. I think you would, too. I think Brandon would, too.
Thanks.
You'll probably ignore all the symptoms, Brandon, until you affected everyone around you.
It's not true.
But I worry about these hospitals, man.
Oh, yeah. No, the healthcare workers, and who, by the way.
One hospital around
they
here.
They all deserve a big tip of the hat and the heart, because those are the people we're counting on to get us through what's going to be a really rough period. They're going to be working their asses off, and they're just, you know, these are people that like doing this kind of work, and we should appreciate them. We always should.
I saw that tweet you put out, and I think you should attack Barack Obama for plagiarism, because he just put one out an hour ago. He says the same thing. Copycat.
He basically looked at Drew's tweet and said,
I agree.
Yes. Well, why didn't he just retweet me? That would have been nice for my Twitter. I got a lot of love on that tweet, too, and I meant it.
And you know who else?
And I feel the same way about the first responders, who, by the way, I understand they're entitled to one mask.
Yeah,
that's all they have for now. Although, if you don't have coronavirus, you shouldn't be wearing a mask anyway.
Man, a car pulled up next to me yesterday. It was a Yukon with two young-looking white people in it. I don't know what that matters. And they're both wearing masks in their car. I'm like, you're the only two people. I wish somebody else in Berkeley saw it. You're the only two people in the car.
If both of them have it, they don't need the mask.
No shit.
And if one of them has it, only one should be wearing the mask. So they're wasting a mask.
I was blown away by that. And this was before Beaumont there started doing drive-through testing. I just couldn't figure out what the hell's going on.
This plague doesn't scare me. I've constructed a germ-free chamber for myself. Not a single microbe can get in or out.
Homer.
Who the devil are you?
Don't panic. Just come up with a good story. My name is Mr. Burns.
Hey, also, a lot of credit should go out to, I swear to God, the people that work at Meyer, Kroger, Costco.
Yeah, the people who are restocking those shelves.
These poor people.
There was a guy at Costco who apparently, the one in Madison Heights, who's manning the area where toilet paper and paper towels are.
And what a job.
Drew, I honestly would have sat there for 20 minutes and watched this guy explain to everybody, we're out, we get a shipment at this time tomorrow, toilet paper comes out in 2 days, and there's a lot of people at that Costco that don't speak English.
Oh, was that so?
There's a lot of Asians, a lot of Eastern Europeans, for whatever reason, I don't know. And he's just trying to explain to them, and I don't think it was sinking in, and he's calmly trying to explain, we are out for today. It was 11 in the morning, too. It's on Friday.
Oh, this poor guy.
I don't know how that guy does it. I don't know how any of the people working there do it. It was chaos. It was crazy.
Well, I guess what I'm led to believe is that when the world is coming to an end, it's the last guy with toilet paper that's going to survive. Nothing else matters because people are just apeshit over toilet paper.
Well, I'm there because we actually need food and stuff, and we had gone on.
But toilet paper was gone before food.
I know, and I'm sitting there. People have.
Before cold medicines, toilet paper.
Well, that was my main thing on Tuesday, was getting cold meds. But I see people with, you know, paper towels in their cart, and we have plenty at home. But all I can think of is, they want more paper towels, just because they had.
Yeah,
in their
they
cart.
Have them. I know. I feel it's, the same way.
Logically, I'm going, no, you don't need it. We have plenty. You don't need them that bad.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
You don't need them that bad anyway. But because these people had it and there was none available, it's like, you know, it's scarcity. You just want it.
Best towel you ever had, bitch. Well,
yeah. It's crazy. Everybody has it, and you can't. It's like, you know, I got so many people in this house that I had toilet paper. I was starting to get kind of panicked myself.
Yeah, but well, I got to say, yeah, big downgrade on your toilet paper.
Huge downgrade.
Well, sir, Ace Hardware. How many choices did I have? 7-Eleven Ace Hardware. Brandon rated 7-Eleven, so I had to go to Ace Hardware.
You've gone down to 0.25 ply. That is the thinnest paper.
It's so thin.
I swear, I wrapped some around my eyes, and I could see better.
Stop using so much fucking toilet paper. It's the most valuable resource in the world. You know, we should buy stock in toilet paper, shouldn't we?
Procter & Gamble.
Isn't it just kind of strange that before cold remedies, before food, toilet paper? I mean, obviously, shitting is the most important thing in the world.
I read a fascinating story about what humans did before toilet paper. Are you intrigued by it?
Probably what I did in the forest. Use a leaf here and there.
The ancient Greeks used stones and pieces of clay.
Stones? Pieces of clay. How fucking dumb were they? Stones?
I'd rather just, I don't know.
Stones?
And they used someone else's toga.
We got enough rocks here, too. We could build a pretty decent shelter just using rocks.
And wipe our ass.
Romans used a sponge at the end of a long stick that was shared by everyone in the community.
Oh.
Gross.
When not in use, that stick stayed in a bucket of heavily salted seawater from the communal bathroom.
A shit stick.
And then around 1391, in the Song Dynasty, the Chinese emperor decreed a 2-foot by 3-foot piece of paper sheet made for his toilet. It's quite...
2 feet by 3 feet?
Yeah, paper sheets.
Seems like a lot of wasted paper.
He had IBS. And then in colonial America, I think a lot of people know they use corn cobs. Did you know? You never knew that? Yeah,
no, they used old corn that.
Cobs. Yeah. Really got in there.
Look at all the knowledge we're just generating
to,
on this
just
show.
Just remember to use it one direction, not the other. And then Quilton,
I'm a history buff.
Quilton Northern in 1935 started advertising their toilet paper as being splinter free.
Oh, how nice.
So we got pretty good today, man.
How far in are we, Brandon?
36.
Okay. I think that's long enough for coronavirus for now.
Okay.
Because there's some great stuff outside of this area, mostly true crime and entertainment, but... I swear I saw the greatest true crime show I've seen in so long. Oh, my God. Was this a wild show. You saw it.
Oh, 2020. Yeah.
Unbelievable. But first, I should have mentioned this sooner. It's probably, you're probably listening to this on Monday, which means it's the last day to buy or lease a vehicle at Zot Ford in Holly. Now, you could probably call Jim Bentley there and make arrangements or talk to Anthony to do something and still get in on our dinner, which we're consulting with local health officials.
Yes.
On when we can have this dinner at Mason.
We're following all CDC guidelines.
And social distancing. The capacity of the dinner, we'll just double the size of the table, I guess.
We've intensified our cleaning and disinfecting procedures, too.
Exactly. Same. They're above industry average.
Oh, and one other thing.
If someone gets infected, you've got between 10 and 20 seconds to kill them.
So we're practicing that as well.
We will have someone on hand to take care of that. At Mesa Tacos and Tequilas, which is open. Yeah. And let's see.
We're gonna carry out, too, if you want to be weird and not sit by people.
Yeah, carry out's a really attractive option, isn't it? I've noticed pizza delivery people on our street.
Grubhub.
Big time.
Grubhub sent me an email that they're handling.
Are they following health standards?
Every company I've ever interacted with, I'm getting an email from about it.
Anyway, Bentley, if you make a commitment to buy or lease a pre-loved or a new vehicle, it's Zot Ford, you will be at our dinner, which will be held not at a time when you're afraid to go out. We'll push this thing back as far as we need to do. And, of course, they've got their Zero Cash Due event to help entice you to get fresh new wheels and score the delicious dinner with us. Lease a new loaded 2020 Ford Fusion as low as $122 with Zero Cash Due, or lease the all-new 2020 Ford Edge SEL all-wheel drive as low as $222 with Zero Cash Due. And now the 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4, previously as low as $272, now as low as $252, and you guessed it, with zero cash due. March 16th is here. So if you have made the trek and you want to, not a bad day to do it. And with all these people not working, I mean, I got social distancing inside.
Right.
There's even social distancing with the Hulk cardboard stand-up? What's that big cardboard stand-up?
Oh, yeah, Hulk Hogan, yeah.
Yeah, there's even social distancing from the Hulk. And 2020 and 2020 without glasses and contacts, the only way to opt there or to get there is the safe, painless, and brief procedure at the Yaldo Eye Center with Dr. Yaldo, the most experienced eye surgeon in the Midwest. He's done many, many, many of these. And if you consult, You can opt either for LASIK or multifocal implants. He'll tell you which one makes more sense, and he'll tell you if you have to wait too. And they've got plenty of frames, contacts, reading glasses, and also sunglasses, prescription sunglasses. You can decide for yourself if indeed that's not an option. 1-800-398-EYES. It's the way to get 20/20 in 2020 with Dr. Yaldo. 1-800-398-EYES or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. Now, the advertiser who I think is going to benefit the most from this crazy period is probably Hall Financial. What a great time to refi.
Yeah, yeah.
You got all the time in the world. Most people have a lot of time. You'll probably deal with one or two people, at least usually when we get our thank you notes. It's always about just one or two people, sometimes one, which people love. The fact they're not getting calls from 19 different people over 44 days, which is the average. And interest rates, they were saying if you're paying 4% or more, you really should talk to Hall about a refi. And if you can do it, you know you'll save money. But then interest rates dropped a half a point.
Yeah, now's the time to do it.
Yes. And I don't, you know, with things being a little iffy in general, what a great time to get a refi because you're fully employed. I mean, if there's going to be any terrible negative effects of what's going on right now, they haven't hit yet. So once you lock that in, you're good as gold. Probably save some money for a long, long time. With Hall Financial, drewandmike.hallfg.com or call 248-308-5000. And Hall Financial is, of course, where's my information? My NMLS number. Oh, yeah, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 1467435, Hall Financial. And now I would like to take a quick time out for a public service announcement from Rich Eisen.
Oh, great.
The ESPN announcer. As if you've already forgotten how to wash your hands since we started the show, here is Rich Eisen to help.
Hey, everybody. Rich Eisen here in the bathroom of the Rich Eisen Show, but for a good reason, for a public service announcement, if you will. Being part of a community means being healthy, and the best way to stay healthy, the best way for you to attack
and how do we do that, Rich?
Is by washing your hands. Soap and water has been proven to be an absolute destructor of this awful
no
virus.
Way.
So, washing your hands for 20 seconds using warm water and soap, again, is the best thing.
You don't have to use warm water.
I hear the echo.
Make sure your kids do it. Everybody in your family needs to do it. 20 seconds with warm water and soap. Now, a lot of people are saying, sing happy birthday two times over. My daughter is singing the alphabet. Good stuff. But let's
good
bring sports into this. If you sing the first verse of your school's fight
yes!
song two times over,
oh, please.
It'll do the trick. So, soap. Turn on the water. Hail to the victor's valiant. Hail to the conquering hero.
Hail to the victor's valiant. Hail to the conquering hero. Hail, hail to Michigan, the leaders and the band.
The conquering heroes. Hail, hail.
That drop is like 24 seconds. That's perfect.
Now you're saying pretty much half the fight song, not the first verse of the fight song two times over. But it's just because I really wanted to sing the whole damn thing. Kind of. Do it. Wash your hands. Soap and water. Warm water,
no
soap.
Way.
Have a paper towel Hi, to wash your hands and dry it with. Throw it out. Let's all stay safe. Let's all stay healthy. Wash your hands.
Does it smell good enough for you in there?
Elbow.
How do you like the smell? Is it good?
And also, of course, try and maintain social distancing.
Okay, we get it, Eisen. Jesus.
People about 3 to 6 feet.
I love that someone's in the shitter with him filming this, by the way.
Together, stay calm and get through this.
If you're sick, stay home.
I like the other video he put out, too, right before we said,
I touch myself, I masturbate, and I wipe my butt almost every day with these guys.
That was before he washed his hands.
Oh, Rich. Really?
Coronavirus!
Oh, brother.
Mama.
All right, 2020 on Friday night was just the most incredible story. I got so mad watching this thing so many times. It starts out, you know, I was wondering about the way they told the story, but actually I thought they did a great job because it's really complicated. It starts out with this girl moves in, her and her boyfriend move in with this guy who is a pot provider for
California, medicinal pot provider.
Right, and he deals in cash, and he seems to do really well. And one night, really out of the blue, I mean, there's really no reason for this to happen in his world. I don't think he expected this at all. He and the girl, now they didn't mention what happened to the boyfriend. Did you notice that?
I don't think he was there. I don't think he was there that night, she said. She had fallen asleep in her room, and the pop provider had fallen asleep on the couch.
Okay. So they go in, and both she ends up with a gun in the back of her neck. She kind of knew what it was when she woke up. She's like, what is that metallic thing on my neck? Oh, shit. And somebody says, this is not about you, but we're going to tie you up. And they do the same thing to the pot dealer. And they get thrown in the back of a truck, and they start driving away, and then they don't know where the hell they're going. They're also gagged and blindfolded. And then they realize she hears the crunchy sound of gravel, and she's thinking, oh, we're going kind of off-road here. What, are they going to off us or what?
And how terrifying.
Oh, I know. It just sounded so bad. And these people were not nice at all. I mean, it was really rough. They're demanding of this guy, where's the money? Yeah. Where's the money? And he says, I don't, what do you mean? I got $2,000 in a sock in the door. No. The $1 million. Where's the $1 million? And he keeps saying, no, I don't have it. And they're blowing a torch on him. Mm-hmm. They're hitting him with a stun gun?
And a rubber hose.
Yes.
Don't tase me, bro!
So this guy's just getting jolted to all hell and tortured. And they get to a certain spot, which we'll later find out is kind of in the mountains outside of Newport Beach. And at that point,
they drag him out.
Yeah, and they're still, you know, begging him, where's it buried? Where's the $1 million? And I get you $100,000 tomorrow in a safe deposit box. Nope, that's not good enough. Where's the $1 million? And he doesn't have $1 million. So then they tell him they're going to cut his dick off.
Yeah, this is where it gets crazy.
And this is where it gets really horrible.
I just said that.
They decide to take things to a pretty terrible place.
If we're not going to get our money, we're going to take something.
Your that's what he said.
Is
it?
They have to bleep dick.
I thought, am I really hearing things?
Yes.
And they take a serrated knife.
I couldn't believe what was happening.
It wasn't a sexual thing.
It was like a bad dream. It was cutting off my roommate's penis.
And singing.
Like, and back and forth, and what? Back and forth. The guy was a total sadist. He's a psychopath.
That's what I sing when I wash my hands.
About it. And there was no sound from my roommate.
Torture. Torture. Plain and simple.
And she hears the sound of this liquid coming out of some sort of a container.
I was afraid they were splashing him with lighter fluid and they were going to set us on fire.
It turns out that it was bleach poured all over the victim.
Bleach destroys DNA. So if you're planning a crime like this, you will use bleach to cover your tracks.
I'm really surprised they didn't kill him.
I know. I don't know. This is just so horrifying to listen to. And I'm thinking,
where's my dick?
Where is the next hour and 40 minutes of this thing going? And
amazing what that woman does to him.
Oh, yeah. They leave him there. They just decide, you have $1 million? Fuck you. We're leaving you in the desert. They take off. And he leaves the knife behind, which was probably a mistake. Although he said, if you can find this knife, then maybe you can do something for yourself.
That's psycho.
And so she ends up pushing off her blindfold, and she can look around, and she does see the knife, and she manages to saw off the zip ties on her legs.
Yeah, not her hands, though.
But no, not her hands, but it's enough to get going, and she starts walking. And where the fuck are they? She hears traffic, and so she walks toward the traffic, and she finally gets to a street, and what do you know, there's a cop coming along shortly after that who sees zip ties coming from behind her back and knows something is wrong and comes and gets to her, And the first thing he did, which apparently was very helpful in the long run, was he took pictures of the zip ties. I thought, did they make too much of that?
No, but how annoying would that be if you were her?
I know,
can
yeah.
You just get these off me?
This guy's got his dick cut off in the desert!
Why are you taking pictures of me right now, you freak?
And so then he's like, okay, well, where is he? And she's like, oh, shit. They show this area behind her, and it's like, oh, my God.
She said by the mountains. There's probably, what, 250 yards to the mountain?
It just looks like, holy fuck, how would you figure this out? Although she knew where she walked from, sort of, I thought.
And she knew that there was an access point to drive.
Yeah.
Because they dropped them. So
and
the cops,
they got him. She got there. Somehow, yeah. In the next 5 or 10 minutes, they get to this guy, and the cop, again, takes pictures first. Mm-hmm. And then unties the guy, and they call for help, and they look everywhere for his dick, which they cannot find.
Did we find out where his dick was?
Where's my dick?
No,
where's my dick?
We never did. They never did tell us.
It came up later.
They got rid of it.
Gone.
He took.
Just don't worry about it. It's gone.
God, that drop hurts. They took it with them. No, they said that they did.
Weird.
And so anyway.
But how long do you ride with a dick in your hand? I mean, he had to throw it out on the highway, right? Like, Bobbit.
Although he had gloves on.
That's true.
As we learned later.
Yeah, well, you don't want to hold it.
So they just have nowhere to start with this thing. So they just start going to his neighbors and, you know, anybody nearby. You know, did anybody see anything? And this woman says, oh, yeah, I saw a white pickup truck with three guys that looked like they were construction workers or something, and I thought it looked really weird. And they go, well, God, can you describe the truck? And she goes, well, would the license plate help? They're like, yes, that would help.
You have the wherewithal to write down the license plate number, but have to say, would the license plate number help?
Would have been nice if she called the police a little sooner, but anyway. Yeah. So they find out that, oh, Kyle Handley is the truck owner, and they go to his house, and the house is empty, which they realize, oh, this is a grow house. Yep. And it turns out that this Kyle Handley, they asked the guy who got his dick cut off, who they called Michael. I guess it's not his real name, right?
No, it's his real name, because in court they refer to him as Michael or Mike. But okay. They won't give you his last name.
Well, they asked him, do you know a guy named Kyle Handley? Oh, yeah, I did business with Kyle Handley. He's a friend. We celebrated our year. I took him to Vegas, and he kind of treated him to a nice trip in Vegas, which, as it turns out, was a big mistake, because Kyle thought, oh, this guy's throwing money around. Okay. Holy shit, he's got a lot of money.
You know, he was a pot provider to Michael. Actually, I'm sorry, he ran the dispensary, the medical dispensary, so Kyle was a provider. So.
Exactly.
Great guy.
So they find zip ties. They find bleach. They find the truck, which smells of bleach, and they arrest Kyle Handley.
Yeah.
They also find a blue glove, and the blue glove has DNA inside it, and whammo, it's a hit for Hassan Nayeri, who moved here from Iran at a young age and has been in plenty of trouble already. He lived in Fresno. He was a middle child. His dad was a doctor. His mom was a lawyer. And it sounded like he was the black sheep of the family, not surprisingly, since they pretty well believe he cut the guy's dick off. He was a wrestler in high school, got in lots of fights, joined the Marines, and he was thrown out of the Marines for fighting, stealing, going AWOL. Yep. Just a bad motherfucker. And then it gets worse when they start describing that after he got kicked out of the Marines, he is working waiting tables at some place when he meets this girl who's there with, was she there with her family?
You know what? I can't remember.
Anyway, she's 16.
Yeah.
He's 24.
Yeah.
And of course, he just falls head over heels for this girl and starts.
She's hot too. There she is.
She's very pretty. Yeah, she's very pretty. He starts kissing her ass and basically claims that, oh, she told me she was 18, and I didn't know she was 16. By the time I knew she was 16, we were madly in love. And anyway, so she falls for this guy, and her parents, I think they forbade her to see him.
Yeah.
And so she just saw him on, she lived two lives, one with him and one with her family, and her family knew nothing about this. So anyway, they go on to describe Hassan Nayeri as this super alpha male asshole, who, among other things, after he meets her, he's driving home driving his friend's car after they've been partying and gambling, and he loses control of the car, and his friend is killed. His best friend is killed in the car crash. Vehicular manslaughter. So what does he do? Well, he takes off for Iran right away, which is like, you know.
Because of no extradition. But
yeah. And you know, see ya. Thank you, Iran. You really want this fuck, by the way? Really? I mean, how stupid is all this extradition bullshit? I got really mad at Iran.
<this thing. laughs> He should be.
And
so he's in Iran for a year, and he sneaks back into the USA. And by the way, how do you do this?
I don't know.
How does he just sneak out and sneak back in? What the fuck? He's about to be tried for vehicular manslaughter, and he sneaks out to Iran?
Yeah.
What happens in customs?
He didn't sneak back into the U.S. They went and they tricked him.
Well, no. This is the first time.
Oh, okay.
First time.
Yep. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he gets
That's right.
He kind of sneaks back in and he turns himself in. I guess he gets a reduced charge and serves a year.
Yeah.
And a couple years later, after he gets out, he recontacts 16-year-old Courtney, who's now at Cal State and is now 20,
a law student,
and he re-ingratiates himself with her, and you know she falls back in love with him. And the way she described it, he eventually started beating her down. You're fat. Your boobs are too small. Your ass isn't big enough. You're stupid. You're nothing. And basically broke her down to the point that he's regularly screaming at her, beating her.
Great guy.
He bit her arm so hard once, she said it turned black.
Yeah.
Police are called by the neighbors multiple times, and in spite of all of this, including a domestic assault arrest, which he also plead down somehow, and it wasn't even on his record that he was an abuser.
Yep.
He threatened
to kill
her.
You better muzzle him. He's a biter.
He threatened to kill her multiple times. Anyway, he got anger management, and it was dismissed. So now he's gotten 1 year for killing his best friend. He gets dismissed for threatening to kill her and beating her multiple times. And she said, I thought it was interesting because we see this so often when, you know, we always go, boy, if I bit her arm and it turned black, shit, I'd never bite her or hit her again. I'd be so scared.
Yeah.
You know, but no.
Yeah, it's the dodge the bullet versus doubling down.
Right. If I bite you, you get rabies and you die.
And she says he becomes a bigger monster every time he gets away with something.
Well, he's already gotten away with so many things.
Right. So she takes him back after all this. She's in law school, and he becomes friends with Kyle, who owned the white truck with the bleach smell, who was already under arrest, well, from earlier in the story anyway. This is actually much after that. And Kyle and he are growing pot, and apparently they thought this was the big way to make money. And in fact, to get started, Courtney, the girlfriend, no, they're not the wife, they're married.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
She steals money from her father because she's getting all this money to go to law school, and she's working in her father's company, and she's embezzling money from the company to put into his pot business.
Mm-hmm. Great lawyer.
And which they use against her, by the way, eventually, you know, to discredit her. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you stole a bunch of money. Yeah, I stole it for him. Oh, yeah, but you stole it from your parents. Anyway. So Hassan is friends with Kyle. Kyle is friends with Michael, who's about to get his dick cut off. And Kyle tells Hassan that, you know, Michael's throwing money around in Vegas, and he decides that he must have $1 million.
Yep.
I don't know why they arrived at that figure.
Cash business.
Yeah. And so
doesn't
Hassan,
mean you can't deposit that cash, but it's a cash business.
Exactly. He's got a lot of cash somewhere.
Yeah.
And they decide it's $1 million. Well, they start surveilling his home with cameras round the clock.
That's crazy.
For 9 months. They put a GPS on his car, which, by the way, you know, this is another thing that just bothers the shit out of me. This idea that, and we've talked about this business of impersonating someone else on social media, you know, whether it's catfishing or ripping someone off or whatever. And I've always said, I don't understand, why is it okay to pretend you're someone else in some official way? And not that a social media is official, but it seems to me that it shouldn't always be a crime when you impersonate someone else, but there should be a crime when you're impersonating someone else to do
for gain,
to do ill will,
yeah,
and
or any kind of gain.
Why is it in the same category? Why is it that I can just put a GPS on anyone's car and know where they're going all the time?
Well, I don't think you're allowed to. I think people can just.
Have you ever heard of anyone charged with it? I've never heard of any charge.
Well, that guy stalking the person, in, remember, he was from Indiana. They lived in Royal Oak. Wasn't he? Didn't he stick a GPS on him?
Yeah. Yes, he did.
I mean, it happened, I guess.
It just seems like people are doing it all the time. And you know, I can just walk into the store and just buy all these things and use them against my ex or whoever it is.
A lot of times you're being tracked with your phone anyway. And if they can get...
But he knows exactly where this guy is driving. Sure, and he's about to try to steal $1 million from him. Mm-hmm. So anyway, eventually they find that he's driving his car all over this desert area.
Yeah.
And
he actually said to his wife,
"Are you following the story, Brandon? By the way, it's a long story."
No. This is
fascinating.
I seriously caught 2 minutes of this when Kristen was watching, and I walked in, and it was at the part where she said
that with her.
Someone just cut this guy's wiener off, and then she changed it because she was like, "What? Nah, I don't. It's gonna make me sick." And so I didn't know that this is the one. So I'm excited to learn the entire story.
Ever get the remote?
I have a man cave in the basement.
So Hassan, this horrible person, determines that Michael, who's about to get his dick cut off because he runs this cash pot business, he's driving all over this desert area. And so they just decide, that's where the money is. Well, it turns out that Michael's friend was showing him some real estate.
Yes.
That he could buy a piece of land. And so he's absolutely wrong. But anyway, shortly before this event happens...
You got to think, too, he would have... Wherever the $1 million was that he thought he had buried, which is ludicrous in its own right, he would have gone there more than one time the whole time he was tracking him.
For 9 months.
Yeah.
Tracking him for nine fucking months.
He went there once?
Once.
Yeah. It's preposterous.
So, before this happens, Hassan, who's drunk driving again, a week before the penis cutting off the, $1 million thing, he's being chased by police because he's driving erratically. I think he's speeding, and he's drunk. And police chase, he abandons his car and takes off on foot, and he gets away. And they impound the car, and for some reason, still not clear on this, why they couldn't find him. It seems like you can never find this guy. But anyway, the next week, they pull off this stunt. This guy's dick is cut off. They don't get the money. Kyle Handley is arrested, Hassan's partner. And Hassan, they start going through the GPS.
They find it.
They find the GPS and the security camera in the car that he abandoned when he was chased.
Yep.
They go through that and they find the surveillance of, he's surveilling. This guy is involved in the surveillance of this guy's home who got his penis cut off. And when they check the DNA on a glove in Kyle Handley's car, it's Hassan.
Yep.
Hassan Nairi, who's been arrested multiple times. So let's find Hassan Nairi. Oh, he went to Iran again. He's gone to Iran. We can't get him back.
See you soon. Bye.
So this is where it just gets so stupid. And this shows the kind of balls this guy has.
He is so separated at birth with somebody, too. Like
I know.
It's driving me nuts. I can't figure out who he is separated with.
Is it a politician?
Maybe.
Actor? Does he look
a little Rami Malek?
Hold on. Does he look a little like...
It's the hair.
Yes.
Marv Albert.
A little like Marv Albert. Just is there a slight resemblance?
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
You're talking particularly in
the eyebrows?
The interview scene, right?
Yes.
The hair is so
there's
weird.
There's an actor.
It's got like a pompadour.
I know, there is. You're right,
there's
Brandon.
There's an actor who, I'm telling you, it's on the tip of my tongue. Somebody looks
like it's not Rami Malek,
like
right? The guy who played Freddie Mercury?
No.
No, there's someone else.
Oh, it's going to kill me.
Not Rami. I don't think it's Rami. But
it's driving me nuts. I don't know why.
This story is so insane. So this fucking guy's in Iran.
Yeah.
And Courtney's still talking to him.
Yeah.
Courtney's like, what can I do for you? And, he still has this hold on her. And so he says, you know what? Go to the police. They got my fucking truck impounded from the chase and claim the truck. And so he goes to the police station.
Exactly what they wanted.
Exactly. And she says, yeah, I want to claim this vehicle. And they're like, okay, sure.
And this stuff is inside here, too. Can you sign for it?
Yeah. And she does.
Oops.
And so they said,
can't leave yet, honey.
I got a few questions for you. And she's completely fucked at this point. It's like, you know, she doesn't want to cooperate. She's not cooperating.
Brandon has to separate at birth.
I think I found my separated at birth.
Who is it?
You're 100% correct.
Raul Julia.
Yes.
That's who it is.
That's one of them. Yeah. I think there's more than one.
You're right.
But you're right.
He played the dad in the Addams Family.
Yeah.
The movie.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff. Was he in The Kiss of the Spider or something?
Yeah, and he William was in Hurt? Street Fighter.
Not my favorite movie.
He looks just like him.
Wow. That's a generic look, though. He looks like other people, I think. Marv Albert might have been a stretch.
Game over!
Oh, there's one other dude. Bobby Cavendale or something? Is that his name?
Oh, Bobby Cannavale?
Yeah.
A little bit. They all had sex and had a kid together.
Well, anyway, Iran, of course, will not return him. Oh, no, why would we return him? He's safe here, and you crazy Americans, you probably just want to do something terrible to him.
Yeah, like cut off his penis.
So they, at this point, the officer doesn't know what to do with Courtney because she won't cooperate, and she's potentially in a shit ton of trouble. And so they call Courtney's dad. They say, did you know that Courtney was married to this guy? And, you know, start describing. Of course, the father knows exactly who it is, and they explain to him what this Hassan Nairi, who the father long ago, when she was 16, said, do not go anywhere near that guy. He's nothing but trouble. And so the father convinces Courtney, and, you know, it's kind of sad that, because this happens all the time when a daughter like that feels she can't confide in her parents, this fucking mess she's in. But once he knows, he tells her, look, help them. Do the right thing. You could be in a lot of trouble. You need to get rid of this guy. He's a disaster. And so she turns around and she says, I'll do anything. So they interview her. She gives them all the information they want. And then they say, Courtney, we need you to convince him to meet you in Spain for a vacation because he will have to have a layover in Czechoslovakia where we have reciprocity and we can arrest him in Prague.
I thought it was interesting, too, that he would do that because all I could think of was she's very hot and she must be wild in bed because he just wanted to hit it one more time.
Yeah, he did. He really desperately, he had it for her. He had something for her.
She's hot.
Yeah, she's really good looking.
She's pretty.
She fucks.
Do you want to play the phone call? Because they recorded the phone call. Sure. And I'll, while you're doing that.
Can I ask one thing about
this?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Michael? Does he get a new wiener?
They're a little short on information with that.
I got a feeling that he did not get a new wiener. They shared it with us if he did.
Yeah, because the only audio they played of him asking about it was this.
Can you donate a penis to a person who's transitioning? Go to white transitioner, get a black penis?
It seems like...
I don't know. They were very light on details. So much more to this story, even as far as we're in right now. That's what's crazy about it.
I was really stuck on this topic myself, and I just kept telling myself, they take wieners off cadavers now, and so he's got to have a kid. Probably got a bigger wiener, or he's got a big black wiener, or he's got some kind of wiener. He's got to have one, or they'd make one like they do for a transsexual, right?
When you check that donor on your driver's license, does that include your wiener? Can they take that?
I don't know. They remember that guy?
I would love to know that my future wiener is getting some action.
No one wants that thing.
Probably, but still.
Remember they put that wiener on that guy? We tried to call the hospital, and he was all fired up. He had a great wiener.
Just put a dildo on it. Just give him a strap. Just throw a strap on him.
It seems like he's got
him. Just charge him and give him a strap on in his bag.
I'm going to assume that he has one. They just didn't want to tell us.
Is it just a nub now? I don't know.
It's
a better story.
They gave him the old Weinstein.
So anyway, let me do this, and you can cue up the phone call.
Cute, yeah.
It's a new year, a new decade, which means it's time for Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com. Start something new event during which you can lease a new loaded 2020 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 as low as $148 a month. If you're all about Jeeps, how about leasing a 2020 Jeep Compass Limited all-wheel drive around $122 a month? Then again, you might prefer the 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $229 a month. Plus, Zot is your lease turning headquarters. Any make, any model, over miles, body damage, payments remaining, no problem at Zot. I always feel like buying a car takes a lot of time, and I always put it off, but it seems like we all kind of have a lot of time now.
Oh, yeah. Do things like get this. All this stuff done. Yes. Get all the stuff you can get done.
So they'll get you in a new ride for the new year. Check out the deals and their massive inventory. Always check dealsinthed.com.
I feel like a lot of people are getting their taxes in order now because they have a lot of time to get all their paperwork.
Yeah, do we all get extend our taxes, all of us?
It's still up in the air. You got to believe eventually.
I bet you they're going to push back tax day at least by a month.
Oh, I think more than that.
Really?
I bet people are too afraid to go out.
Well, not only that, but we kind of want the money to keep moving around as much as possible in this economy.
Really spend it online.
I bet you everybody gets an automatic extension to October 15th.
I'll take it.
Don't you think?
I usually get one anyway.
Well, a lot of people do.
Yeah. I'm certainly not as worried about my taxes as I was 2 weeks ago. At least there's that. Although I got the 1099s out. GrowGreen. Now, this is really cool. GrowGreen, we are going to lose a couple of advertisers, at least in the interim, and we don't know how long this is going to go on. This is the tragedy of small business is, you know, to have to think, oh, geez, how is this going to affect us? And fortunately, GrowGreen has stepped up and said, hey, we might just take a larger role in the show because you've got some space open, and we're still doing our thing.
Are you okay?
And I don't think people are going to stop taking interest in what GrowGreen does.
No, if anything, you want to start growing your own stuff, weed and vegetables.
And they're nicer people than they were yesterday, because now you know this. They buy in bulk and pass their savings on to you, the growers, with deals like ProMix bales for $22, bags of Dairy Dew for $10, and advanced nutrient starter kits with everything you need to start growing today for only $149. It's the only store in the state with BioBest beneficial insects in stock and an in-house IPM expert to help you prevent or fight any type of infestation or plant health issue.
And that guy,
he
practices social distancing, too.
Mm-hmm. Of course
you're in-house. I mean, you can do it online, but that guy does.
Pass state testing, save money, end up with higher quality end product with a custom IPM program from GrowGreen. GrowGreen's on M36 in Whitmore Lake or online at growgreenmi.com. And there.
Hey, how about I cut us down some of our homegrown weed and we get baked?
I'm in.
And GrowGreen is more important to us than ever. As are all our advertisers. Yeah. Okay, so here we are. Here's Courtney, who's been through hell. Her arms turned black because of this guy. Not to mention, she's in major legal trouble. Yep. And she's got to talk this sociopath, Hassan Nayeri.
Hi.
In a meeting room in Spain.
So Courtney has to get back in Nayeri's good graces.
It's just been 10 months since I've been able to be around you, like, every day, you know? Just not what I envisioned.
You get the shit beat out
What's
of me.
What's significant about this big acting job is that a lot of time had passed. He's not sure what's happened in that time.
You didn't know I wanted to see you. I say I miss you every single time I talk to you. Are you joking? Let's spend a couple weeks together. I mean, come on.
She's not genuinely happy. We're listening to those tapes hoping that he hasn't caught on.
We can travel all around Spain and do whatever. It'll be great.
Spain, I hear, is a nice place.
I was thinking to myself, oh, my God, he's going to sense that my voice inflection changes. If I don't laugh at a joke, you know, anything could set him off. And he's highly suspicious.
If he realized that she was working with law enforcement, he could have her killed.
Nayeri's a psycho. She's betraying him.
I want to see you. I want you to come and meet me. Then we can be together forever.
Oh, I'm surprised you said yes after that.
I know, me too.
So long. If it was real,
oh, I'd love to have a voice
singing.
Like that.
I love you so much. I want to see you.
She knows she has to do that to convince him to get on that plane.
He must be on a dry spell.
The night he was supposed to come, I'm calling Hussein. He's not answering. I'm like, oh my God, he's not going to get on this plane. Everyone's going to think I tipped him off, and I hadn't.
He's been forcing the penile distancing.
He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I overslept. I'll be there. See you very soon.
He honestly believed that he was going to reconcile this relationship. And instead, he gets off the plane in Prague and gets stripped, arrested, cavity search.
Yes! His ass are preserved!
I love how he threw in the cavity search.
Oh. A true dungeon. True dungeon.
What, your cavity?
100-something-year-old. Wet, cold.
It sounds like
no
he's describing
water.
His own anus.
It was just something out of a movie, Twilight Zone.
Oh, poor guy.
I know.
And there he waits for extradition for an entire year.
This is in jail.
And afterwards, she not only divorced you,
but she annulled the marriage.
She's good. She's good. What can I say?
He's so pissed.
She's good.
He's so pissed about that.
Okay, so he's booked into Orange County. Huh?
She's from Czech Republic, isn't she, Nikita Denise?
She sure is.
She could have hoodwinked him, right?
So from Orange County, by the way, he sends her a birthday card from jail.
Yeesh.
And he gets a phone. Why does he get a phone?
I'm from Czech Republic.
Get a phone?
So, as you're about to explain, something happens while he's in prison, and I've been reading more about it because 2020 didn't dive into it. They had help from two people.
Yes.
So one is how he got a phone was from one person.
Is that fuck being charged with something, by the way?
I think they were. Let me see if I can find that story again. The person All right. that helped him.
Yeah. They knew he had help from someone, and he's coy about it. He kind of implies that it's somebody on the inside. But
yes, that person was charged.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
So he gets a phone. He starts videotaping himself, and he makes friends with a couple other guys, and they come up with this escape plot.
People might remember this. This is a big story when they were on the run, the three people that escaped from the jail in Orange County.
And it's quite an incredible escape because they have to get through all kinds of areas. They have to climb up to the top, four stories up, and there's really no way down. They have to climb down four stories. And did they have sheets tied together?
Yes.
What did they? Uh-huh. Okay, that's what I thought. And so now this fucker who videotapes the entire escape.
So wild.
He videotapes the entire escape, and he's like, you know, once he gets through an area, he you see his thumb go back and the thumbs up from his phone videotaping. Yeah, he's so arrogant.
Well, he left the phone behind, so he knew they would find it.
Yeah.
They'd find all this stuff, which is really, really...
No, he gets
Actually,
off
you know
on
what?
It.
I think he did take his phone with him.
He did take his phone because he taped himself when they were on the run.
That's right.
The three of them are on the run, and they immediately, after going on four stories, they call for a cab who picks up the three men. If I saw those three fuckers, no way I would let them in my
car. Well,
fans are here!
Two of them are Vietnamese, and so is the driver, so...
True. Cab driver picks him up. They immediately pull a gun on him, and they redirect the car with him, who they keep the driver in a motel. They get a three-night stay.
All I can think of is that motel must have stunk.
Oh, I know.
I don't know why.
Horrible. And Hassan sits in a chair in front of the door while the cabbie is on the bed sleeping or on the floor sleeping or whatever. And eventually they're trying to decide what to do. And they steal a white van. They leave. They're arguing whether to kill the old man, too, right in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And the two other guys do not want him to be killed. I guess Hassan wanted to kill him because he was signaling, let's cut his throat. And that's all the old man knew. Anyway, he ends up going with them to Northern California.
Road trip.
Yeah. And they spend a day at the beach in Santa Cruz.
Taking pictures.
Yeah, taking selfies with the cabbie, acting like he's their buddy.
That was kind of genius of Hassan to come up with that idea to show like, hey, we didn't kidnap this guy. He's having a great time.
Exactly. And that's what eventually he tries to prove, is that we didn't kidnap him. He helped us. And they get another hotel room, and Hassan, who, you know, gets in fights everywhere in the Marines, high school, so on and so forth. He gets in a fight with one of the two Vietnamese
nice
guys.
Anger management classes worked. I mean, he did complete anger management.
You better shut your mouth before I shut it for you.
But even after the anger management, he wants to kill the cabbie.
Yeah.
That's what the fight's over. So the one guy is so, at this point, he is so freaked out by Hassan Nayeri that he says, I'm going to go back to Orange County with the cabbie. I want him to be my godfather.
It's so weird.
It's really weird.
So weird. He surrenders.
He's completely moved by the cabbie. He thinks he's such a great guy. He's an older guy, and he thinks, you know, he can be my mentor in life.
How'd that work out?
I don't know. They didn't really explain that part.
I'm sure he's doing wonderful now.
So the escapee goes back with the cabbie to Orange County.
That didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
He turns himself in, and Hassan and the other Vietnamese guy, they take off for San Francisco in the white van.
This comes my favorite part in all of the whole 2020 episode.
The videotaping in the van?
Well, just what happens.
Oh, yeah. I love this. You want to play them in the van,
right,
though?
They're right here.
San Francisco.
They're just having a ball.
For the first time.
There he is.
showed up to San Francisco and showed up to the best part of San Francisco.
Hey, Ashbury, baby.
And in the video, they're kind of camped out there in their temporary home.
They are in this stolen van. They are videotaping themselves talking about smoking pot and eating bananas.
This is our casa right now for the moment.
Cool,
this
nice
is our
life.
Crib. You know, all the basics. What do you want some bananas? No, we don't have crack. We don't have crystal meth.
Oh, because that was my next question.
Bananas.
Good one.
Can't have a home meth party?
At one point, Nayeri gets out of the back of the van and somebody recognizes him.
I looked kind of bummy, homeless.
Believe it or not, there is a homeless man in the Bay Area who is a self-described news junkie.
I was reading the San Francisco Chronicle. I was reading about escaped fugitives, and out popped an escaped fugitive. Nayeri pops out of the van, said, I got to go report it to the authorities.
You are fake news.
That goes far, we got it down.
I just love that a homeless guy busted him.
I know, it's
because
great.
He loves reading the fake news.
it's
really quite, kind of amazing.
So it's back to Orange County for Hassan and a whole bunch of new charges. And meanwhile, Kyle Handley, the guy with the white truck who was involved in the kidnapping, he gets 4 life terms. I don't understand. How did he get 4 life terms? That didn't make sense to me. I mean, I'm happy, but...
Yeah, it is weird.
I didn't quite get it. But anyway, he gets four life terms. And Matt Murphy, who I've seen in so many of these cases in Orange County...
He thinks he's hot, by the way.
He does think he's hot. He's a killer prosecutor, though. Yeah. He never loses.
Nope.
So, you know, how hard can this case be? I mean, he cut this guy's dick off. They don't have exact evidence of that. But nonetheless, he's a sociopath. He's a sadist. Of course he did it. He did all the other shit. He beat up the girl. He killed his best friend. He ran to Iran twice to get out of serious, serious charges. He also beat up this girl over and over and over. I mean, on and on and on. There's just, and now kidnapping. And he wanted to kill this guy. Didn't get to, thankfully, because of these two Vietnamese guys. But now he is on trial, and Matt Murphy is going after him.
That was nuts.
It was absolutely nuts because Courtney has to testify. She's scared to death of him. And
she had to hide behind, you know, where the judge...
Yeah, she didn't. So she didn't have to look at him.
Yeah.
And she describes that she knew about some things. She knew that they wanted $1 million. She knew that he had a torch and ski masks. They had fake construction worker outfits. So she was, of course, very helpful. Except for the fact that they just beat the shit out of her for embezzling money from her father's company, which she did for him. And I don't doubt that. And then Hassan takes the stand.
What a turn.
And, of course, Kyle is the mastermind of everything. He did the surveillance as a favor. He was paid. He was like an employee of Kyle's. And, you know, he's
great
paid
guy.
To do it. He wasn't doing it because he wanted to steal any money. He then, they bring up the Marines and the fact that he...
I'd like to point out, by the way, I think he's starting to bald.
See his good. Hair there. Oh, yeah. So yeah, you can see a lot of his scalp.
Injury,
boy, that does my heart good because he does love himself. Mm-hmm. He starts crying on the stand, which was so fake.
It worked.
He starts crying on the stand because he's describing how upset he is about flagging out of the military. And... Matt Murphy, the prosecutor, notices that, oh, shit, one of the jurors is crying, too.
Yep.
And he's like, I got to win her back. So Matt Murphy has to, that's on direct. On redirect, when the prosecutor takes over, Matt Murphy has to somehow bring out what a sociopath this guy is. And you could tell.
It's amazing.
It would be doable. And we should probably play that part because I thought that was really incredible how much he got this guy to show his ass.
Great lawyer.
I'm trying to see where exactly it is.
Because he completely showed his ass. He couldn't.
Gross.
He just couldn't behave on the stand.
Kind of surveillance equipment.
GPSs and cameras.
He likes pushing his voice, too.
He does.
To conducting the surveillance for months.
Several, yes. 9 months.
Is this a job? For you, or were you getting paid for it?
I was, yes.
Thanks for the podcast.
Throughout all of it, he continually flatly denied knowing anything about the kidnapping.
Did you participate in this kidnapping?
Of course not.
Of course not.
Did you know about it before it happened?
Of course not.
His testimony of, I only watched him for Kyle Hanley, who's the real criminal mastermind, it is patently absurd. But the question is the jury believing it? And that's the scary part.
You're very emotional. Appear to be crying. Why is that?
At one point, during questioning from his lawyer, Hussein Nayiri got emotional.
I have no words. I don't know what to say.
And this is the performance of his life, because literally his life depends on whether or not he can get one or two of these jurors to feel sorry for him.
Do you remember writing that?
Yes.
Hussein Nayiri is a con man, and this is a big, giant manipulation.
He's a pretty good fake crier.
That's what the game is.
Is that a reference to how you left the Marine Corps?
Yes, one of the biggest heartbreaks of my entire life.
My beloved,
I very rarely look at my jurors when I'm in trial. And I looked over when he was crying. He had one who looked like she was tearing up a little bit. I got to bring her back.
You may begin your cross-examination. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Good morning, Mr. Murphy.
When the cross-examination began, Matt Murphy started to ask him questions.
Absolutely wrong.
Okay, Mr. Nayiri. We got all the time in the world, so you don't have to interrupt me. I'm not going to interrupt you.
And Nayiri got testy.
You good?
I understand.
Okay. Okay. Are we good? Are you going to do that?
We're good.
Okay.
Are you going to start telling the truth once in a while?
Whoa! I thought the judge was going to beat the
you
shit out of me.
You may not make those kind of gratuitous statements. You know better than that. Do you understand?
Wrong.
Yes, Your Honor.
Very rarely do you ever see a prosecutor and a defendant go at it the way Nayiri
and Matt
Murphy did.
Can that lady stop popping up on 2020, the expert lady?
Yes, please.
Set up this whole kidnapping, right?
You don't even believe that.
Okay. I'm going to take that as a no.
I'm going to take that as a no. Maybe I felt like he was conducting a Harris poll there. He's like, yes. I'll mark you down for a no.
Now, I want you two to kiss each other.
Heavyweight boxing match. It was just
counter punch after counter punch,
setting each other up.
You need to hear the truth, the real answers, or you want fake answers?
He's in a battle between the impression he's trying to make and his actual nature.
You're just trying to box me and I'm trying to explain to you so you can get it.
You and I have had a conversation about these gratuitous comments. Please stop them. Next question, please.
And there was one exchange where they had to ask the jury to leave because Nayiri yells at Murphy and you thought, here we go.
Mr. Nayiri, I'm going to ask the questions. You're going to give us answers.
Truth, please.
I just don't want to believe the truth.
Do I need to admire?
There's a judge again yelling at him.
Your Honor, he's shoving down information down my throat.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need you to please leave the courtroom.
Oh,
the
judge's going to kick his ass.
Like, he's trying to challenge me and he's personally attacking me. It means that the strategy is working, that I'm under his skin, and that he's blowing it.
He'd go from this charming young man to, I'm angry. And I'm not going to take this. That's what his ex-wife had described. It was jarring to see it in person.
Your marriage to Courtney was annulled, yes or no?
Falsely, yes, it was annulled.
Falsely.
You could tell that there was just like this negative electricity between the two of them.
My question
based on
to you,
false information, yes, it was annulled.
My question
based on
to
much
you,
of bull.
Sir?
I would say it was hate is what it felt like. It was so intense.
I'm asking the questions.
No, I don't remember.
Look, man, you got to answer the questions or not.
You want the jury to see the real, evil, angry, violent nature of this man.
Whoa.
The Hussein Nayiri that's in the back of a van, not getting what he wants.
You're angry.
I just got one last question for you. You're out in the desert with Michael. You cut off his penis. Why couldn't you just leave it there in the hopes that it could be reattached?
You're done.
You want to give us an answer for that?
I'm going to give you an answer for that.
Personally, we reached a point at the end where he actually threatened me.
Personally, I'm done. So he said.
You need to leave.
I'm done. What does that mean, Mr. Nayiri?
Where's my dick?
Sir, are you done?
So my question to you,
I'm not going to even answer your question.
Okay.
You don't even deserve an answer with that.
Where's my dad?
Nice try.
Nice try.
Dick.
What an ass. Didn't you think he, you know, he was in his head going, oh, I could do a really small dick joke here. But why didn't I leave the dick? Let's see. It was too small. I dropped it. They would never be able to reattach something. Attach something that small.
The incredible thing is that this jury that was moved to tears by his fake crying.
One person.
Being out of the military holds up the fucking jury for 4 days.
Yeah.
Because she just doesn't believe that he's done anything wrong.
Because he cried.
Yeah.
She also, didn't she say to the bailiff, like, I can't do this anymore.
It's too hard. They're yelling at me. Because the other 11 people are going, you fucking idiots! Can you imagine being one of those 11 people who is not sucked in by this guy? I'm convinced now that, honestly, that police and law enforcement have been so degraded over the last 5 years or so, or I don't even know where it starts exactly. Maybe it's in, well, it's been a narrative for a while, that it's just not that hard to get a soft juror who just thinks, oh, they did something terrible to this person. They framed him. So even though the 11 people are, like, from the first minute, fuck him. He is so fucking guilty. This one idiot finally comes around because the jury, and I don't know why they couldn't do this at the beginning, they convinced her, and it was true, that his surveillance had aided and abetted the crime, whether he committed any of it.
That's what it took. Yep.
So they were actually hung on one count, but they got him on the main count. And I assume, did he get life? He must have gotten life.
I thought they said that.
They weren't very specific, but...
Tap, tap, tap. Case ended.
She said she's never going to have to deal with him again. So yeah, I assume that's life. What it meant. But that fucking guy, and honest to God, his attorneys, I was so pissed at them because they're like, oh, yeah, all we got to do is get one juror and we let this psychopath out.
Yeah.
Bullshit. I just don't. You know, they worked so hard for this guy. And by the way, where did he get all the money for these great attorneys?
His ex-wife's dad.
It was bullshit.
I assume that the charges were so excessive and, well, rightfully so, that probably the judge felt he had to get him a good attorney, or we had to pay for a good attorney for him. You know, like Tim McVeigh, remember how much they spent on his defense?
Or Kwame.
Yeah, Kwame, exactly.
And the third guy in the kidnapping, doesn't he go on trial soon?
Yes. Who is that guy?
I don't know.
Strange.
I can't find exactly what he got, what his sentence was.
I think he got life. They kind of inferred that.
Wow.
Over the last, about year and a half, we've been talking about Luke Nowacki and how you need to make good financial decisions if you want to be able to retire, if you want to put your kids through college, if you want to be able to pay your mortgage, if you want to be able to own a home. And that's what Luke Nowacki's team does. They try to figure out, based on your two incomes or your one income, or the income that you no longer have because you worked and retired or whatever it is, a financial plan is what they want you to have so that you can not outlive your money, as Trudy fears. Call Luke Nowacki's team at 248-663-4748. This is not a bad time at all to consider these things.
No,
as the stock market's down, what, 20%, 25%?
Yeah. And there was another announcement today. I got to find it. Feds cut the rates to near zero. It's going to be purchasing $500 billion in treasuries, $200 billion in mortgage-backed securities, too. So they're doing everything they can to keep the economy moving.
It's not a bad time to get in if you're not.
Oh,
if
it's
you're
a
somebody,
time to buy.
A lot of people who just put money in their checking account and I don't know what to do, and I've got $10,000 in there, I've got $40,000 in there, I'm earning 0.5%. That's not how people generally multiply their money by leaving it in an account that's earning less than 1%, although actually your treasuries will earn you more money now than they would have in the past.
I'm sorry, say that again, the treasury?
Yeah, treasuries. I mean,
well, they've been down too. They bounced back on Friday.
So it's a good time to take a look at that with Luke Nowacki. If you call them at 248-663-4748, you can sit down and consult. And many people have from the show, and many people have gotten some good advice and opened 401ks, for example. A company actually set up a 401k with Luke. And some people have changed their investment choices, or they've gotten more aggressive, or they've gotten less aggressive because they're older and they're overly aggressive. Security Investment Advisory Services offer through Reliance Associates Incorporated. Remember, FINRA, SIPC, Reliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities, and all marketing names, product services, reference here, independent of Reliance Associates Incorporated.
Coronavirus! Shit is real!
Everyone is remixing her now.
Yeah, I saw two Cardi B songs today.
New
so
York,
far.
New York.
A bitch is scared, and a lot of you motherfuckers think it's controlled. Like I was thinking, right? Guess what, bitch? Coronavirus. I'm telling you, shit is real. Shit is getting real. Woo!
Is that guy playing the keyboard look a little like Brandon?
No way.
He's playing the keyboard to her big rant, which is on a giant screen right behind him as he's playing the keyboard.
Government.
New York City has decided, okay, we will close schools this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Illinois has decided to close bars and restaurants.
Well, you know,
California's closed bars.
These CDC guys, you know, every one of them says it. The more we do this now, the less, maybe the shorter length of time we'll have to do it, or the less people will die, the less people will get
late.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's probably late, and I'm sure the numbers are going to go up this week quite a bit, but hopefully they flatten out.
Some interesting things, too. Like, the head of Taco Bell said that we're going to pay all of our employees no matter what, even if they don't come in
to a point.
I think Delta said the same thing. Locally, Illich. They've set aside $1 million to pay the arena people, those workers, those hourly
Zion
workers.
Williamson?
Zion.
Pay the
you know,
employees.
And we mentioned Kevin Love on Thursday, and I got to tell you, Twitter became such just bullshit after that, because instead of being like, what a great move by Kevin Love and people stepping up, they decided to attack Dan Gilbert.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's the billionaire. Why doesn't he pay for it?
Well,
I thought that was kind of shitty, man.
I don't know why that should become the discussion point. I mean,
that's
why don't
what
we
I
just,
mean.
Maybe Dan Gilbert can do something for someone
maybe
else.
Maybe he will.
Well, he might indeed. And, you know,
maybe he won't. Who cares?
These are stories that we've heard quite a bit about. There's a number of people doing the same thing in other parts of the country. And one of the reasons I think people really should do that, and I'm not trying to take anything away from somebody who is helping people who are not working, but a lot of these corporations have a lot more cash on hand than they used to have.
Yeah.
Because we had a big corporate income tax. So they really kind of should, in my opinion. I'm hoping
they
will.
They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Not going to help them stock.
Put their operation in jeopardy, which I doubt many of them
won't. They're not going to go that far, Drew.
No, I don't think we have to worry about Amazon.
No.
Or a lot of these big companies. There was some other news this week. Jim Johnson's back on.
Yeah, as you predicted.
OMC.
OMC, yeah, OMC. With Joanne Purton.
The JJ and Joanne show.
So, but that was, seemed like a terrible time to announce that, because there's so much else going on.
The other announcements are always kind of funny as to what people announce right now, because no one pays attention to it.
The announcement that Rick Pitino will coach at Iona.
Genius.
That was brilliant. That was the most well-timed announcement possibly ever.
And the former lieutenant governor of Florida made a great time to party.
what a perfect time
to go crazy.
He barely lost the governor's race. What's his name, Gillum?
Yeah, Andrew Gillum.
And this story is so weird because
it's bizarre, man.
You know, the police get a call. Somebody, Gillum and some other guy are in a hotel room. And some third guy walks in, right? And he goes, oh, my God, this guy, not Gillum, this other guy, he's dying or something. And he calls 911, and they come. And sure enough, this guy's OD'd on meth.
Yeah, meth.
Mm-hmm. And Gillum is barfing his ass off in the toilet and can't even speak. He's so wasted.
Yeah.
So, So he, of course, is under the gun and says, he's just really drunk, and I'm going to get away for a couple days to recover. Like, it needs 2 days to recover from, or a week to recover from being drunk.
Well, they found 3 bags of crystal meth in the room, in the hotel room.
Yeah, sounds like, is Gillum married, by the way?
Yes, married with three children.
He is. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you haven't mentioned the fun part about the 30-year-old that died.
Sound like kind of a homo meth party? Like that
the 30-year-old is a male escort.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Really?
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a male. He does tons of self-porn online, too. Brandon, we pulled
so
pictures,
he and
please.
Gillum just stumbled Daily into Mail. The same room?
No, I think he and Gillum, I think, were in the room, and the third guy is the one that... like came in.
No, but I mean, according to Gillum, he just kind of stumbled into this room and started barfing. Yeah, and this other guy apparently just stumbled in too, and he doesn't even know him.
There he is, the gay escort they found.
Why didn't I know he was a gay escort? I've read.
You don't
story,
read the Daily Mail.
But I do read the Daily Mail.
Here's that hunk.
Look at him.
I didn't read this story, I guess, but I've read this story in multiple places, including on Twitter, and not once have I seen that this guy was a gay escort. Because I thought it was a homo meth party from day one.
Well, congratulations. You were right.
I guess I was.
Great sleuth.
Drew recognizes a homo meth party when he sees one. There he is.
Ever since, you know, the big fundraiser in California, this Ed Buck, or the, was he 65 years old, and people just die at his place all the time?
Well, don't forget Ted Haggard.
He had a homo meth party. Parties.
Not only anybody died at those.
No.
Homo meth party.
Well, I got to tell you, they must be really good parties because people just get off at those things.
Don't want a homo meth party to be confused with a meth-fueled death party like the guy in Minnesota had.
A death-fueled Jeep ride.
No, I'm talking about
a Coke-fueled Jeep ride. That's right. I'm confusing Dennis Quaid.
I'm talking about the guy in Minnesota whose wife was sick with cancer, so they had a meth-fueled death party where Quiet Riot.
He had a fantastic mugshot.
Yeah.
It was a blowout.
So that's a meth-fueled death party, not to be confused with a homo meth death party, I guess, because the guy died.
They had heterosex on meth right before she died.
Mm-hmm. They knew she was going to die, though.
They took her out of the hospital.
I don't think Gillum and this other guy knew he was going to die. But he picked a great time to do it, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Now, so you're telling me that this Gillum, they're going, we're going to believe him. This looks like it was just a crazy coincidence. He's in a room with his escort that died of meth, and he's drunk, so he didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, I think he's going to be in a lot of trouble. Don't you?
I would think so.
Well, what's his role now? He lost the election.
Yeah, apparently sent him down a homo meth spiral.
A homo meth spiral would be a lot of fun, but it's not good to have on your record.
So he lost governor for Florida in the 2018 election.
It's a very close one,
But prior to that, he was the mayor of Tallahassee. So I don't know what he's doing now, so I'm not sure how bad it's going to be.
We know what he's doing.
Meth spiral.
What are you talking about, Brandon? He's partying with that guy, who, by the way, I bet you goes through a lot of razors because there's not a hair on his body.
It's not.
Wow, he is mighty smooth. Which I guess Gillum likes his homo meth spirals.
He was an openly gay smooth male bodies. Escort with a profile on the website rentmen.com.
Well, now, it shouldn't be that hard to find out that he paid this guy at some point.
He also identified himself as, quote, a porn star performer who offered services including, quote, gay massage. How is a gay massage different from a regular massage? Just... that it's a guy doing it to you for the happy ending?
And he may, partake in some wiener activity.
Here's what he said. He said, I like kissing and foreplay. Lots of kissing and foreplay. I enjoy my nipple rings lightly played with. Mutual touch and intimacy goes a long way. Rest in peace.
Hmm.
This is one crazy website.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, are you on RentMen?
Yeah.
Oh.
Rent.men.
Oh, look at that dude, a third one over.
Has Jonah seen this site?
Let's call him.
What's the third guy over doing?
He's hard. Oh.
Can you put the pointer on him, Brandon? I can't even figure out what that third picture is.
This really? One?
Oh, okay.
It's very Anthony Weiner-esque.
Oh.
It is Weiner-esque.
Oh,
look at that.
Oh, God. There's nothing dumber than that grip.
I know. He's just stretching his wiener out, too, isn't he? He's pulling on it. Literally pulling.
Let's see if there's more information here.
He was found vomiting and intoxicated. He was not arrested, but was unable to communicate with officers, which he said. Dyson rented the room. The guy that died, the escort, rented the room on behalf of a third man. That's the third man who arrived at the hotel at 11 p.m. He's 56.
Oh, wait, the third guy? So the guy called 911, he was part of the homo death spiral too?
So to find, well, when he got...
Homo meth spiral.
This is really confusing. Dyson rented the room on behalf of a third man, Aldo Miejas, 56, who arrived at the hotel around 11 p.m. to find both men severely under the influence of unknown substances. So nice showing up to a party that you rented in your rented room that's already started. You know he walked in with, he started without me.
You fucked up showing up late.
Dyson collapsed.
Well, if I was that third guy, I would have just bolted.
But the room's in his name.
I don't want this party. Oh, that's true.
And not only that, Dyson collapsed on the bed immediately after opening the door. The guy that died opened the door for the guy who he rented the room on.
And then just died.
And then Gillum, the ex Tallahassee
mayor. If I was
the
guy that knocked on the door, I'd be so pissed at that guy for choosing that moment to die. You really fucked me, buddy.
He
should have left.
Well, he should have dragged him out of the room first and then left.
No, he should have just left and then, gone down to the front desk and go, my buddy rented a room in my name. What room is it? And I mean, he's kind of fucked no matter what.
Yeah.
Although Gillum is vomiting in the bathroom. He probably didn't want someone else to die.
He should have dragged them both out in the hallway, I think. Doors down.
Did you hear former Lieutenant Governor Gillum's apology?
No, do we have some audio?
No, this is real. This is a real apology.
No, some real audio.
No. Just a statement.
Okay.
I was in Miami.
I'm sure he's going to explain it.
I was in Miami last night for a wedding celebration when first responders were called to assist one of my friends. While I had too much to drink, I wanted to
wait, be clear. So he's buddies with this guy? Rent a wiener?
Yes.
Or men rent, whatever it is?
I want to be clear that I have never used methamphetamines. I apologize to the people of Florida for this distraction that caused our movement.
What is distracting from?
I have no idea. No one in Florida is distracted by this.
Hey, we're in the middle of the coronavirus.
Relax.
The smallest distraction it could have ever been.
Yeah.
No, I think it's more distressing because we're wondering what the fuck was going on in that room.
No one's going to remember this.
No, that is there. Do people have heterometh spirals?
That's
really familiar.
Yeah, probably.
Because I've heard about homometh spirals many times. It sounds like they're an absolute blast. But why wouldn't it be just as good for a hetero couple?
I guess. I don't know. This is so weird. They're
Does
not,
meth lend itself to gay sex?
They're not pursuing any criminal charges with Gillum.
Are poppers good for guys and girls?
That's a great question. If the girl likes butt play, apparently.
Honestly, which ones don't?
I don't know
why.
It's an open
it seems like when there's meth and sex, it seems like it's gay guys. I saw an intervention where this guy loved doing meth and getting it on with dudes.
Really?
And he had a girlfriend.
What?
Yeah, it was like he
Did
made it sound
know?
Like the meth made him like guys.
Did she know?
No.
Oh, okay.
She knew something was up. He was
so
up for
am
like
gay?
Guy would be up for
am
like 6 days, and he'd be gone for like 3 days. I think, I'm going to get some milk.
I think it's a red flag.
Right,
it's a red flag, honey.
Springer crowd, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who are they chanting you are gay at?
Yeah, probably all of them. All those dudes on the stage.
Yeah, was that guy at that taping? The guy.
This is for all the dudes on the stage. All y'all gay.
I think it was the same taping.
That's
actually,
wild.
That might have started the chant.
Well, that'd be cool to put that together. Because I mean, people have been wondering for years if those are two different tapings.
What a wild story.
Let's see, some other odds and ends. I feel like I shouldn't do both these stories, or all three of these stories. It'll sound like I'm just picking on women. The women's
soccer... Check your misogyny.
The U.S. women's soccer team...
Oh, boy.
...wore their shirts inside out at their most recent game for the warm-up.
Yeah, played in front of a packed house, by the way, while the NBA had already canceled. Remember I pointed that out to
you?
Yeah,
nice creating more coronavirus, U.S. women's soccer. They were wearing their shirts inside out to protest the U.S. Soccer Federation's claim, and by the way, they're defending themselves in the gender discrimination suit that the U.S. women's soccer team has taken, the action they've taken against the Federation. The Federation is being, the protest was about the legal claim in their defense of the gender discrimination suit that men are better players, men are more athletic, stronger, and more skilled, and work harder.
Duh.
They could have added that the U.S. women's team lost to a team of 15-year-old boys, but they didn't. They're already in trouble for telling the truth anyway, so how much more
I still think that's a bad argument, though.
Why?
Why do people go to apples and oranges in general?
I understand.
I think it's apples and oranges, but I think generally the better, the more athletic an event is, the more people are paid, usually.
Well, because they're better.
It does show the talent level.
Why don't we put the men in the same league, and we can pay accordingly?
I agree with that, but you're talking about the talent level. Compare the ones. I mean, the women are far more talented versus the other women, and the men clearly are not. It should really come down to revenue.
No, I agree. It should come down to revenue. But there's nothing wrong and there's nothing incorrect about saying the men are better players.
No, but once again, that's kind of
how do you
define better player?
Well, if the men played the women, playing a male team, they lost to 15-year-old boys. I think they were sophomores in high school. I think they lost 5-3, too. I mean, that's a fact. It is. So here's the thing. The Federation president, after the protest and all the hullabaloo, said that they are considering a change in their legal counsel. That's how controversial telling the truth is now. He also apologized for the offense and the pain, which didn't reflect the values of the Federation.
Oh, boy.
So the Federation apparently thinks that the women's team and the men's team are equally talented, skilled, and strong. Megan Rapinoe sent out a message to every girl out there that you are not lesser because you're a girl. Now, I don't think that has anything to do with saying someone's lesser.
Check your misogyny.
To every boy, you are not better because you're a boy. We're all created equal.
You're as good as any man.
Not at playing soccer. We're not all created equal. Not at weightlifting. We're not all created equal. Not at giving birth. We're not all created equal.
Women are all mixed up nowadays, right? They seem to have forgotten that their biological imperative is to have babies.
I mean, there really is no ifs, ands, or buts or questions about it. The men are better players. They are.
Unless compared to the women. Yeah.
That's what the comparison is. It's a gender discrimination suit. And in defending themselves, they're trying to say that this is a higher level of play.
My problem with it is that the salaries are always negotiated with their union in the U.S. soccer, and now all of a sudden they're not happy with what the last agreement was.
And that may be because the women's team has done so well, and they've been very popular, and they bring in revenue. Why don't they just do a percentage of revenue like everyone else does?
Exactly. That's what they should have done.
Which, by the way, if the WNBA did it, they would not be in business anymore. But that's a different story.
That's what they should have done. That's what they should have done in the beginning. And the men's revenue is a lot less because they failed to
make the reason they didn't do it was because the men's revenue was a lot higher than
it was. Yeah.
So they were sacrificing revenue. They were actually taking a smaller percentage of the revenue relatively. But that's not good enough anymore.
The fact of the matter, too, is
equations change.
Megan Rapinoe and a lot of the higher profile, like Alex Morgan players, make a shitload of money.
Yep. So, okay. Yeah, that's too bad.
Alex Morgan's hot.
Yeah, she is.
What a shame that legal strategy would be so vicious to tell the truth. And they certainly should get a change in legal counsel, that they would have the audacity to say that men are better players.
Well, they should get a change in legal counsel because, once again, look at this problem it's caused by using that argument.
Why don't they have the women choose the counsel that the Federation uses to defend themselves against the women?
Them? Yeah, right. Yeah,
since the women don't like... Because a lot of times that happens that, you know, the opposing counsel doesn't like each other.
Frankly,
because they have different motives.
Frankly, they should split the Federation.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't listen to women yelling. I tell them to shut up.
The problem is, U.S.
Then they can have their
weird.
Own revenue and they can negotiate their own share.
It's just
check
weird
your misogyny.
How they set it up, U.S. soccer in general. I mean, they control all soccer, MLS, and everything.
The other kind of interesting story that's gotten blowback and blowback to the blowback. And it involves another male-female issue, is Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, my God, yeah. Go away.
I know this story is so dumb.
You need to leave.
And I just had a bad scent here because, you know, when Harvey Weinstein was found guilty, for some reason, I don't know why. I mean, as if we haven't heard enough about Harvey Weinstein, and I wasn't really complaining. I just thought the story was weird. Kate Beckinsale all of a sudden comes out and says, oh, my God, he called me the biggest cunt, and when I shake my tits and my ass at a premiere, and instead I wore this white suit, this man's suit with a white tie, because I thought it was tone deaf to 911 to have this serendipity.
Wear that outfit again.
Premiere so close to 9/11. Well, if she felt so strongly, shouldn't she just have refused to go?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think the fact is that she wanted to be in the good graces of Harvey Weinstein. So she went anyway. And then now that he's in trouble, now she can say all these things like, I thought it was tone deaf and I wore the shitty outfit because it was right after 9/11. She's never really said, and I think what she really wants to say is that, I thought that outfit was pretty cool, actually. But Harvey thought it wasn't sexy enough, and he wants pussy on the red carpet. He wants pussy on the red carpet.
You better get it.
Yeah, showing it off. And, of course, that's outrageous and ridiculous and all that, but it just seemed like an odd thing to say now. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the oddest thing was that she said that, well, I was taking my daughter for a play date with Harvey's daughter.
Yeah.
And, you know, Harvey has a way of surprising people, I guess. And so, you know, I wasn't expecting this big diatribe at this play date. But it seems that in 2017, remember all the Me Too accusations against Harvey Weinstein?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a little bit after the big stories came out, Kate Beckinsale, again,
yeah, slow down,
came out and said that when she was 17 years old in 1991, she had been invited to Harvey Weinstein's suite where she went.
I'm fucking 17.
He answered the door in a bathrobe.
Ugh.
Invited her in and tried to get her to drink alcohol. And she said she was able to extricate herself unscathed somehow.
Yeah.
So 10 years later.
By putting out.
Well,
sorry.
Excuse me. You got to wonder. 10 years later, she's got a play date with her daughter and Harvey's daughter.
Yeah. How many movies was she in the meantime?
Oh, quite a few. That's when her career really took off.
Kind of reminds me, this is a bad, bad analogy, but it reminds me of Aaron Hernandez saying, no, those are the bad guys. And then on video, he's like, hey, here's my baby. Hold on. And he gives it right to the bad guys, quote unquote. So,
yeah.
Your children are hanging out with someone who you said is absolutely horrible.
Mm-hmm. And also, it seems that, you know, this is what a lot of people felt about some of the women. And I know this is wrong to say, and I'm not saying it. I'm just saying this is what a lot of people said, was that a lot of these women wanted something from Harvey Weinstein. Sure. They wanted these jobs. And so they put themselves in harm's way. And some of them had consensual sex, and some of them admitted having consensual sex with him because they wanted a job. And that's not, I mean, that's, the whole thing is just so grotesque. And the fact it'd be this guy, too, this creep with this no testicle, weird penis that looks like a vagina. And he's got this crater face. And he's just the grossest person ever.
Yuck.
I don't know why you'd want your daughter having a play date with his daughter.
Yeah.
You know, honestly. And so that's what people were ragging her about was, why were you going to his place? Why would you want your daughter to have a play date with his daughter? And so she fires back and says, this one person says, I had no idea what was coming. Your hatred of women is showing. It's ugly, and you are part of the problem.
Broad brush.
And I don't know. For some reason, I think the answer to the whole dilemma is that Kate Beckinsale is always right. And that's the way you should take it. She's really. Things have gotten weird with Kate Beckinsale lately between Pete Davidson. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And 2 years before Pete Davidson, she had this relationship with a 21-year-old guy who, when she was dating Pete Davidson, was asked, hey, what advice would you give Pete Davidson? He said, run.
Right.
That's great.
He was 23 at the time. And I was so intrigued by this whole Pete Davidson thing. I went to her Instagram and I noticed that, oh, look at her Instagram. All of a sudden, she's
so hot.
People are kind of interested in her on Instagram again. And I went back and I looked at it, you know, a couple of years back. And
oh, not so interesting?
Not so interested.
Ooh, interesting.
Like,
yeah.
Really not so interested at all. Even though she takes these skanky pictures,
She is beautiful.
She's gorgeous.
She's hot as hell.
One of the most beautiful.
But she's in these really skimpy workout outfits, and, you know, she's all hot, and, you know, that's what people want on Instagram. So there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that it wasn't really intriguing people anymore until Pete Davidson came on.
Wiener, yeah.
Now, how are her recent posts doing? I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah. She still gets thousands upon thousands of...
How many likes is she getting?
28,000.
281,000.
I'm sorry.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's where she's...
Oh, that's the outfit. That's the Harvey Weinstein outfit. Okay, that got 281,000. Go back about 3 weeks.
All right.
Ooh, yeah.
All right. 100,000 still. This is 8 weeks ago. 100,000 likes. I'm just going to keep scrolling. She posts a lot. She is...
Oh, she
really
does.
Pretty. I know. 126,000. Oh,
just a headshot.
She clearly has a pretty good. Whoever's doing her Instagram is doing a hell of a job. I mean, the pictures are beautiful.
What's that? Ooh.
Who is that?
It's her. It's her.
That's
body.
Her.
Yeah,
300,000 likes.
Wait, she's blonde.
Yeah, she dyed her hair. Hubba hubba.
It was a while ago. It was beep up 28 weeks ago.
Well, there can be no argument. She is smoking hot. And she's 40. She's 46 years old. She looks like $1 million.
Wow.
But go to the Harvey Weinstein one with the white suit.
Yeah.
It looks so dumb. what are the comments on this? I'm just curious because I think this is where this all started, all this negativity blowback.
Let's see. I wonder if Harvey talked to men the same way as he talked to you.
He probably did talk to some men in a pretty shitty manner.
Your communication with us on this painful matter is greatly appreciative. I applaud your gracious accepting a barrage of rude comments. Well, you were smiling at the premiere regardless. You can't just burst into tears about your supposed sensitivity to 9/11 afterwards once you got chewed out.
That's the part that annoyed me the most was that it was tone deaf and there she is. And she's a star of the movie.
Yeah.
The movie did well, by the way.
You not only decide to go public with this now? Was it about your career and the money? Yeah. Can you explain it to us?
Yeah, it was. What else do you want to know?
You're showing your hatred of women, and it's ugly. I don't get it. As a woman, you choose to stay quiet until now?
Yeah,
that seems to be...
Nice comeback!
The gist of it. Let's see. If you're so brave, why did you wait 20 years?
Yeah.
Great.
Why do people go to the trouble to post on?
I don't know. Because they're stuck at home from coronavirus now.
Yeah.
It's only going to get worse, Drew.
People are just so shitty.
I wonder if broadband's going to suffer because of this.
Oh, meanwhile, we have a new celebrity with a very important word about coronavirus.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's about hand washing because...
The virus has been detected.
Don't feel good.
This is breaking news from the CVNN, Coronavirus News Network.
Coronavirus!
Stand by for complete, in-depth, and accurate breaking news. And shit. Can't breathe.
Now, is this somebody, please, I need to be reminded how to wash my hands.
I haven't heard this yet, so I don't know exactly what the message is, other than that it's going out to, you know, the most at-risk population. It's from Jack Nicholson.
I'm Jack Nicholson.
Or Nicholas, I'm sorry. I did it again.
Week or so has been an incredibly confusing time. We've lost all the sporting events. We've lost a million different things, and I'm a big sports fan. But I don't think that's important to what we've got happening in this country right now.
Could have been edited out.
We need to be smart, be safe. The coronavirus is going to hurt a lot of people. I'm 80 years old. My wife is 80.
Coronavirus!
We need to be safe. We need to be smart. And many of you kids, you know, you're going to a lot of places that may bring that home
kids.
To the senior citizen.
I'm sure there's a lot of kids following him.
So let's all make sure we wash our hands. Let's make sure that we're very smart about where we go and when we go.
I'd forgotten the hand washing thing already since Rich Eisen.
Let's just be smart. Americans have always been smart. Americans have always gotten through these things, and we'll get through this one. But my friend, you know, as much as I hate not watching things and not being part of it,
I hate not
it's
watching
a smart
things.
Thing to do. So be smart, stay healthy, and make sure that your consideration for your fellow American is there.
Thanks, Jack.
Wow, that's great. That's so
I
powerful.
Think this might be
I didn't
my
know
new
how to act until I heard that.
This might be my new favorite thing, celebrity messages about coronavirus. So if anybody sees any, please send them our way.
Well, there is the one that we've kind of not discussed, and that was...
Oh, that's right!
Oh, boy.
Well, he's down for jokes.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. Well, I'm at my local market today because I was watching a show today, and, you know, everything is coronavirus, and they were talking about what items had gone up the most, had sold the most. You know, things like Clorox and wipes and TP. But the item that they say have gone up in sales the most was something called oat milk. Something I had never heard of. I mean, I've never heard of that.
Juice, give it the time.
Well, it has a long shelf life. You don't have to refrigerate it until you open it.
He's just walking
then it
through
has a 5 to 7 day
life
milk. So I decided I better get it.
Could you imagine walking, you're shopping, and all of a sudden you see O.J. Simpson talking into his phone?
That'd be great.
In any event, I saw an interesting reaction from a couple of my buddies yesterday. One is in the medical business, and he's been real concerned. But I've never seen this guy get pissed off until yesterday.
Ooh,
when he found out that the Las Vegas Golden Knights had postponed their games, and he went through the roof. You know, no, don't get me wrong.
He knows
this
guy has some selfish friends.
He has such reasonable friends normally.
Him off. And I kind of dogged him about it, saying, man, you don't get mad until they cancel a sporting event. That was until this morning when I saw they postponed.
Oh.
The Masters golf tournament.
I got to kill someone.
I was pissed off.
Oh boy.
You know, it seems like in times like this, we need those distractions. But I'm a father. I have 4 kids, so I know it's the right thing to do. I'm just glad that football is 5-6 months away.
Well, you
Hopefully
think so?
This thing will be under control by then.
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
take care.
Man, he is just always the voice of reason.
Now, check this
so
out.
So wonderful.
Remind me never to go to that doctor if Juice has to be the voice of reason.
So,
his doctor friend.
I hop on OJ's Twitter to look at some of these videos. I wanted to have him queued up. He had several of them, but this is the only one worth playing. He's joking around the coronavirus. But I saw a brand new Twitter feature today. It was crazy. It popped up, this little pop-up that says, hey, by the way, click here. If you want to see some of the replies of this tweet that OJ deleted, there's now a feature on Twitter.
I didn't know you could do that.
I didn't know either. This is the first time I've ever seen it. There is now a feature where you can click, and it will take you to the replies that OJ Simpson himself.
That's awesome. So you know he's sitting around reading every single response.
So here's some of my favorite ones. Now, there was a post that he put up where he's golfing with a mask and he's just joking around like, this is what happens when you golf with people from Washington.
From Spokane, yeah.
So some of the replies that OJ personally hid from you, the public, include, hey, was your face covered like that when you brutally murdered Nicole and Ron? I'm just asking for a million friends.
A million friends.
So he clicked that.
Hit it.
Did you wear that mask when you kill your wife? You're a murderer. Let's see. Do you think Nicole would be wearing a mask if she were alive today?
Oh,
if anyone dies from the virus here, let it be you as karma for killing Ron and Nicole. You're a dirtbag. Ron should have been more cautious before wandering into Nicole's yard. Hey, OJ, some people on Twitter here are saying that you killed a woman named Nicole. Please tell me that's not true. I'm your biggest fan. So the one that we just watched, the grocery store video, yeah. I clicked on the hidden ones there, too. Hey, Juice, if someone took the last bottle of oat milk, would you kill them? Walk in their DNA and then fly to Chicago?
Walk in their DNA.
Oat milk. Oat milk.
And this is my favorite one by far. Hey, OJ, hide this reply if you killed Nicole. And then he hid it. So someone took a screenshot and said, he admitted it. And then he hid that one. OJ, you are more mad at the cancelization of the Masters than the 2 lives that you canceled.
That's very true.
Hey, there's not enough Purell that could clean the blood off of your hands, OJ. He deleted that one. And this was also a good one. Hey, OJ, geez, man, I haven't seen this much drama since June of 1994. So it's a new feature. It's underneath the tweet.
You got a good one. You got me there.
I don't think you'll see it normally because people don't hide theirs. But if you do see this little, this little indicator underneath the tweet, you can click it and see hidden replies.
That's pretty cool. Brandon, I have breaking network news.
Network news.
Hey, just right here, some breaking news from the Red Shovel Network. And shit.
Bachelor Pete
yes.
and Madison are no longer together.
Oh, no. Didn't yes. we know that?
Only days after he selected her on the finale, after letting Hannah Ann go, they're no longer a couple. Now, this just days after his mother, Barb.
Yep, laid down the law.
Oh, she completely blistered Madison for making her wait 3 hours to tape, not apologizing.
Don't let her go. Don't let her go.
She's talking about Hannah Ann there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not be confused. Did she say bring her home, too?
Bring her home. Yeah, I don't have that one yet.
What?
I'll get it.
Huge. Anyway, yeah, so.
So he ended up empty-handed?
Empty-handed, yes. Now, however, his mother, Barb, was asked, had she sort of rethought, and is she going to apologize to Madison, you know, after all this? And she said, no, she is not going to apologize to Madison.
Well, why would she now?
I don't know. Who fucking cares? She made a complete ass of herself, though, I thought. Although people were acting like, no, she's his mother, and she's being a mother.
God.
Do you think he stole?
But he should have shown her more respect.
He's 26.
Do you think he stole that Madison virginity in the 2 days they were dating before they broke up?
Oh,
no,
no, I don't think so.
That's probably why they broke.
Could be.
Yeah, because then she would have to get, you know, she'd have to rescind it with her father and, you know, write up that contract a little bit different.
ESPN, by the way, is running promos like crazy. Now, ESPN, have you noticed there's 30 for 30s running and all kinds of...
No, the wild thing today was NBC was rerunning the last year's Players Championship in golf.
What?
CBS was running a 2015 Atlantic 10 Championship game because they don't have their sporting events to run, so they're running all rerun sporting events.
ESPN has a lot of to be announced on coming nights.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. For them.
They're running promos for The Last Dance, which is their, I guess it's a doc on the 1990 Chicago Bulls.
Oh,
yeah.
And I think it focuses more on the last championship, but some prior to that too. It's a 10-part series, and it was supposed to run in a couple months, but it sounds like they're trying to get that thing moved up big time.
Well, that's the other interesting thing too, is that all the other shows that are filming have stopped filming, like The Bachelor, Survivor. A lot of those shows that were supposed to be filming right now just stopped, which means what are they going to run in a few months? They're just going to have to crank out production.
Boy. Yeah, that's going to be messy.
So this 30 for 30 is called what now?
The Last Dance. It's not 30 for 30, though. I think it's a 10-part series.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get it out there, man.
And
The trailer looked awesome.
Yeah, the trailer looks pretty cool. I was going to mention, too, that 48 Hours on Saturday. Did you happen to see that?
I did not see that, no.
Oh, my God. It was a wild story. It was about this Washington Post writer who's writing a book, and this guy's really into, it's weird, it's sort of weird, it's hard to explain it without seeing it, but this guy is really into clocks, and he likes repairing old clocks, and he's kind of obsessed with time, and how, you know, moments
that's
in time.
Like an alarm clock.
I did the Drew thing and kind of saw that there wasn't really a, it didn't seem like there
there's
was
a murder. Yes,
there is a murder.
Yes,
okay.
There is.
I thought it was more about a survivor of the with the heart and
yeah, that's well, they cover it all.
Okay.
So what he did was he and his editor, I think they were talking about how, you know, we would like to select a date out of the hat in the last 50 years and find something that was sort of life-changing on that date and write about it. Just to show that, you know, the idea was that, you know, there's always something huge going on every day. And they pulled out December 28th, 1986, which is like, oh, shit, a couple days after Christmas. One of the worst news days of the
nothing
year.
Nothing's going on.
Mm-hmm. And the truth is there was an incredible story that day.
It was
that,
a Sunday.
That he found. Was it Sunday?
Yeah.
Or are you autistic? Do you have that weird thing?
Dude, I don't know.
Every Yankees baseball
store. Can you tie
score?
Your shoes?
actually,
no, he was very upset the other day because his shoelace
broke. His shoes aren't tied.
No. But I can tell you what day anything was.
So on December 28th, 1986, there was this, in Fairfax, Virginia, this really strange story. And they told it from, I like the way they told it too. It was, first they talked to this guy who had been friends with this guy named Mark Willie, and they were good friends. And Mark Willie had this girlfriend who was 19, and she was really very well liked. She just moved in an apartment. She'd been in a relationship with this Mark Willie guy who became extremely possessive, jealous, you know, this whole bit. And on Christmas, in October, a couple months before that, this friend of Mark Willie's had gotten this letter from someone, and she said that she wished she could tell him who she was, but she felt that they had a special relationship, and she wishes, you know, that they were together.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, who the fuck is this? I have no idea who it is. Well, it turns out it's this girl that is with Mark Willie, this super possessive, jealous guy. And in December, she starts trying to break up with this guy because he's stalking her. He's following her all over the place and also getting physical with her and this whole horrible story. Anyway, on, I guess, a couple days before Christmas, she said, I'm done with you. I don't want to see you ever again. Mm. It's over, 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 over. And on Christmas Day, she calls up this guy, his friend, who was not his friend anymore because he saw him flipping out over this girl and just thought he was, you know, this guy's horrible. This is a disaster. She tells him, I wrote you that letter a couple months ago.
Ooh.
And this guy was like, oh, my God, I've been nuts about her. I've always been nuts about her. In fact, that's one of the reasons it drove me crazy that this Mark guy was treating her this way. And so he goes over to her house on Christmas and he ends up talking for hours and hours and hours. Probably banged her. I don't know.
Yeah, of course. That's translation.
Seemed like you would have. And then
talking for hours. Yeah,
they're both 19 years old, but she had her own place. And so he goes home late that night and he has a ski trip scheduled. And he was like, oh, my God, I just want to talk to her. And anyway, goes on his trip for 2 days, comes back and he walks into his mom, said, I just have to tell you that something terrible happened too. Because he told his mother, I met with so and so and we talked and, I'm going to go out with her and I'm crazy about her and blah, blah, blah. And she's the one that wrote the letter. His mom says, she was shot at her apartment last night.
I said she waited until after the ski trip.
Yeah, she did.
I know. I'm serious. It's actually kind
of. When he walked in the door and he said, oh my God, where is she? And she said, she's dead. Mark shot her. Mark had.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Possessive boyfriend had climbed a tree outside her.
So I'm getting it on?
No. It was the 2 days after he left. For the ski trip.
Yeah.
He climbed up a tree, dropped a rifle on her balcony, and then broke in her front door, hoping to get back together with her.
Yeah.
When she told him flat, no fucking way, dickhead. He grabbed his rifle, shot her 5 times, and then shot himself in the head.
Ugh.
So what did this Washington Post writer pull out of this day, you know, besides the story? Well, the guy that shot her, Mark Willie.
Yeah.
He was brain dead, but he was alive. And meanwhile, there was a doctor in Fairfax who had just gotten them to approve doing a heart transplant at his hospital. And he'd been waiting for a heart for this 20-year-old black woman who had 2 small children who was dying. She had
Andrew McCarthyism.
Yeah, Andrew McCarthy or Darren McCarty heart problem. And she was about to die, and they didn't know if she'd make it. Well, he had just gotten approval he'd been practicing heart transplants on cadavers. Heart transplants had really not many had been done at that point. And he'd brought in the guy, did the first one to Fairfax to get them to, and this guy's like a superstar doctor. And he said, oh, fuck, if this guy says, we'll do it. So they take the heart from the murderer.
Yeah.
Put it in this woman who's still alive.
The black woman.
Put in the black woman. She lived. It was nip and tuck for a while there, but she lived and
she's a murderer.
Alive. No, she's not. Oh. She's not a murderer. she raised these kids. And,
I mean, if it was a movie, she would have become the murderer, right?
Yeah. Well, if it was a movie, as they pointed out, she would have gotten the heart from the girl.
Yeah, true.
But she got it from the guy.
True.
Which was kind of a bummer, but still, it was a wild story. And she also had been, she was studying to be a nurse. And once she got the heart, they said, no, you can't be a nurse because you can't be in hospitals. You can't be around compromised people. You can't be compromised.
Even her body didn't want that murderer heart.
Yeah. So eventually she got so healthy that she finished her nursing studies and she became a nurse.
Oh, great.
And she's been working in this hospital ever since.
Oh, that's cool.
So it was a wild story. It was a cool story. It wasn't the traditional 48
hours. I'm glad
hours.
I skipped it, but great story.
Yeah, and there was probably enough on the murder to keep me interested. If somebody doesn't die, I'm not watching.
I think that's my takeaway from this. I'm shocked you watched that whole episode.
I was a little surprised too, but they set it up very well, and I was intrigued with the writer too, and I kind of want to read the book. I might even read it.
Hmm.
because I'm sure there's going to be a lot about the murder.
Yeah, probably.
Not that I'm into murder, but if I'm going to watch a true crime thing, somebody better fucking die.
What else you have to do while you're socially distancing yourself?
Exactly.
From people. The Detroit Lions just tweeted out how to wash your hands. Not joking.
Is there audio?
No, it's just a graphic of how to wash your hands.
I think, frankly, if
anybody, the response, by the way, is just ripping them to shit.
If anyone is offering advice on hand washing, I want to play the audio on the show. I want to beat that into people somewhere, because apparently this washing of hands is a terrible problem.
I did see another celebrity, very important coronavirus message, but I skipped it because I didn't think it would be worth coming back to, but it might be now. Although he just blabbers on and on. It's Ken Burns.
From PBS, the baseball.
Yes, he has announced that he's such a hero, he's allowing PBS to run baseball right now. So while you're at home distancing yourself socially, you can watch the great work that he's done.
Fantastic. There was also, is Michigan that's banned gatherings of over 100 people?
Michigan's 250, I believe.
Is it 250?
But they weren't. The news story is
Michigan.
They said if people aren't going to follow this, it's going to be a total ban on bars and restaurants, which is just. And when they say that, they mean gathering in the restaurant. Obviously, well, they can still do carry out.
You know, somebody's going to get carried away and want to have a big St. Patrick's Day blowout.
Yeah.
I mean, like with restaurants, is there somebody who has to do a head count and make sure they don't get over 250?
Well, a lot of times their capacity, at least in Oakland County, is cut in half, so they kind of know what their capacity level is.
There might be a way to utilize umpires because they have those clickers, those counters.
But if they violate it, they're talking about losing their liquor license.
Oh, that's heavy.
That
might keep them in line. I was talking to somebody at the bank, and the bank manager was trying to help her with something. And all of a sudden, the bank manager gets a call, and she says, "Oh my God, I have to cancel my daughter's wedding."
Oh man,
she's Chaldean, and
it's probably a huge blowout.
It's a huge Chaldean wedding, 530 people, and it was like, "Gee, can't you uninvite 280?" No.
Oh man.
And they've got deposits and oh man. Yeah, anybody who's planned something, I mean even a private gathering, I guess.
This is a difficult time for all of us. We're worried about Skin the health
burns?
Of our
yes.
kids,
awesome.
Our families, our friends and neighbors.
It's the only way to make it on our show.
Safety of our
remember
kids.
How mad he got at us?
It's also a time when we yes. realize more than ever that we are all in this together.
We are?
That the U.S. in the United States actually means us.
Whoa! That was
so glad
before,
I'm listening to this.
And we've come through because we helped one another. And we learned that the best way to triumph over hardship is to come
is
together.
Is by watching my documentary, Baseball.
As many of us hunker down
thank
in
God
the days
for
ahead,
Ken Burns.
It's important that we find things that bring us together.
Like my documentaries.
And show us our common humanity. That's why, in the absence of many of our favorite sports, I've asked PBS, that's the public broadcasting
yeah,
service.
Yeah, idiot. We know what PBS is.
We're not that
America's
stupid. We're going to tell us how to wash our hands next.
At PBS.org and all PBS digital platforms.
Sound pretty soft, by
stay
the way.
Stay healthy. And let's look after
but you. How do I wash my hands, Ken?
Play ball.
You know, oh, play yeah, to do a play ball.
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ.
You know, one thing that this is telling us is
so
people are quickly identifying themselves as the people who like to tell people what to do.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've been anointed to tell people what to do. Here's how you wash your hands. Get out of me! Get out of my way, Burns.
There's got to be more.
I don't need your help.
There's got to be more celebrity.
Please, anyone who is helping with hand washing or has any valuable advice that is clearly been overgiven, let us know immediately so we can play it. We can identify these people.
I hope Tom Hanks puts one out because he clearly hasn't been watching.
Has Chet Hanks got a new message?
I'll check. I don't think so.
And if he does, is his shirt on or off?
Oh, it's so off. Wait, this is who's? I don't know who this person is. I'm trying to look for people to teach us how to wash.
Big up the whole island, massive. It's that boy, Statena, coming straight from that golden
block. Look at Chet, he's always shirtless.
Here he
look
is. Here's
oh,
a
he
new
does
video.
Have a new one. Yeah. All right.
Playmakers. Okay. Automarvis, can I spin it?
Hey, your parents are dying.
Chop out the top.
hit it limits. I got some cash. I
want this his song.
Probably. What he wrote on this too, he wrote, "Don't ask me how I've gone this long without making one of these. Hashtag late. Hashtag still not putting a shirt on.
Hashtag I spent a lot of money on my tattoos. Hashtag basic as fuck. Hashtag dad bod. Hashtag thought life.
I'm starting to like this guy."
Oh my God.
At least he gets it.
Why is he flipping the bird in that one?
Why is it all bloody? Who cares?
Wait. Is he bleeding?
Yeah, I guess he got into a fist fight. He says,
Chet Hanks?
You ain't a real boss if you never took a loss. Hashtag throwback Thursday. Hashtag TBT. Hashtag 2012. Hashtag I didn't lose, though. Hashtag should have seen the other guy.
Hashtag
Let's see what he says here.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is just a little daily reminder that one day you're going to die. We're all going to be dead. Every single person watching this video right now is not even going to be on planet Earth. One day, soon, in the near future. And I don't mean that to depress you. I mean it to inspire you. Because do you think Pop Smoke thought that was going to be his last day on the planet? No. But each of us has an expiration date. And what I'm saying is, when it's your time to go, do you want to look back on your life and know that you were afraid the whole time, afraid to even be yourself?
I don't need life advice from Chet Hanks. I just don't. I don't know why. Why does Chet Hanks think we need advice from him? Or that anyone needs advice from him?
Maybe he's speaking to a different demographic.
What has he done? Is he a licensed therapist?
A rapper.
Is he anything besides Tom Hanks' son?
I'm looking at his replies to this, you know. Here's one from this guy. He goes, "You can kill me, daddy."
Oh, what?
He's got dudes that are just, yeah, you're so fucking hot.
Weird.
Chet Hanks is so fucking hot. I love that you're yourself, even though your dad is Tom Hanks.
So bizarre.
Chet. I didn't know that chicks dug this guy. Actually, this is dudes.
Dudes, yeah.
Dudes.
So dudes are really into this guy? Look at all those fires.
Oh, yeah.
Fire emojis out the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, this has like 175,000 likes, doesn't it?
180,000 views.
Ridiculous, God. And we're one of them. Yeah. Oh, we didn't finish it. Let me hear. I missed out on some of his advice.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is just a little daily reminder.
Oh, no, something you need to,
it's okay to hear it twice. It's that good.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is just a little daily reminder one day you're going to die. We're all going to be dead. Every single person watching this video right now is not even going to be on planet Earth. One day, soon.
This is so urgent that he's in his car.
And I don't mean that to depress you. I mean it to inspire you. Because do you think Pop Smoke thought that was going to be his last day on the planet?
No, he didn't.
No.
I just said that.
But each of us has an expiration date. What I'm saying is, when it's your time to go, do you want to look back on your life and know that you were afraid the whole time, afraid to even be yourself?
No.
Because you were worried about what everyone else was thinking, doing, judging?
Right.
Or do you want to look back on your life and know that for the whole fucking time you rocked out to the fullest extent of yourself?
Hell yeah.
And that you were exactly who the fuck you wanted to be.
Let me graffiti on a car.
You didn't give a shit fuck. Ton of allowance.
Why'd you lay some rubber?
Last time I checked, you could be whoever the fuck you wanted to be.
If no one's
told you that today, I'm telling you. Love you. Hey, what's up, guys?
All right, here's
why don't you be Chet Hanks instead of Tom Hanks' son, who thinks he's entitled enough to tell us how to live our lives?
Ready for another celebrity, a lesson how to wash your hands?
Please.
Or at least how they wash their hands.
I demand one.
Katie Kirk, washing your hands.
Oh, to the hook of the song.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Now, the problem is the video's 15 seconds long, so how do I know she went 20?
We don't.
Oh.
Can you comment and maybe point that out?
I'm sure some people have.
Can you read some comments?
You know what? I already moved on. There's actually a what? Here's Gloria Gaynor.
She's only Gloria?
Yeah, she's washing her hands.
Same song?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. He has hooks of songs.
So to annoying.
Washing your hands to look up a song. Yeah, you're really going to look up a song and go to the hook and pause it and play the hook while you wash your hands.
Well, how about Mariah Carey? Oh.
Nice audio.
You got 20 seconds.
She's teaching her kids how to wash their hands.
How's it going? It's good for children.
Me and Mariah go back like babies and pacify.
Older girl, don't lie.
It's to an old dirty bastard song with her name in it. Jump. That seems very...
I'm guessing that she's got a ton of cleavage in this video without even seeing it.
Oh, yeah. No, she's definitely in her PJs. Dude, I just got an email from Target.
Yes?
Sorry, we had to cancel some of the items in your order, which was toilet paper. They canceled all of it. That's horse shit.
Oh, boy. Brandon, you want to get us out of here?
Yeah, sure.
Anyone know if Trudy's well enough to be here tomorrow? Paul Financial Hotline was open. It was unused, and now it is closed.
I texted her yesterday. She is feeling better. It is not coronavirus, she says. Okay. Because they're sputting them.
Okay.
I guess that means no coronavirus.
Well, I want to mention again that if you're listening on Monday, and many of you listen on Monday morning, or some even listen late Sunday night, it is the last day. It's out forward. If you want to make arrangements to Jim Bentley to be part of our dinner at Mesa Tacos and Tequilas, whenever the health department is comfortable with us having our dinner, our gathering, which looks like it'll be about 25 or 30 people. Yep. Hopefully you will join us.
Public health and safety for our listeners. It's our first priority.
Exactly. We are consulting with health officials.
Yeah, local, state, and federal. We're following all CDC guidelines.
Hallelujah.
By the way, after this ending, there's probably a really good voice on the whole coronavirus
challenge
that we're going through right now. Norm did stand up. Almost all of it's on the coronavirus.
It's really good.
It's very, very
It's got to be fresh, too. I mean, he can't have been working on this.
No,
he's just winging it, but it's pretty damn good.
Yeah, just his delivery, it seems like he's at the improv. So I just think he was just floating out some zingers. And
he also says in this that he's 68 years old. He is not 68 years old. He's 60. I don't know why he says really he's funny. 8 years older than he is.
Really, really funny.
I know, and the comments got all hung up on that, too. Like us on Facebook. If you can give us a nice review on iTunes, it'd be great. Many people are complimenting Brandon on his farts after hearing about the one-star review, by the way.
Oh, great.
And thanks for listening. We had a huge week last week. The coronavirus apparently is good for us. So there. We'll see you tomorrow.
I wasn't going to talk about the coronavirus. But on the way here, I got really ill.
Coronavirus!
But I think it was because I ate a cherry pie. Like, I got a cherry pie from Bristol Farms, and I ate it, and then the car was going weird, and I was like, oh. And then he turned on the radio, Jeremy, and then all the fucking news was like, the guy was like, well, there's been so far 11 cases, 50! 200. I don't feel good. You know, you're like, oh, this is not good. I feel like I'm in a fucking middle of a Stephen King novel or something. What is this? So my plan is just to not die. You know, survive long enough where they find a cure. You know, some people will have to die. But finally they'll find a cure for me. And then I'll thank all of them. It's funny how Big Pharma is so evil till now.
My parents got coronavirus.
If you're sick, stay home.
Was it $200 a pill? Yeah, that's good. That's fine. I'll take give me all you got. But now I'm sniffling, and I don't know what that is. Could be the cocaine, I guess. I'm so nervous about this goddamn, and then so I take cocaine, you know? Then that makes the anxiety even more crippling. It's funny that we all now know how we're gonna die. It's just a matter of what order at this point.
Tom Hanks has coronavirus?
I went to the Costco and the fucking everybody trying to buy shit and everything. like the end of the world. And I'm like, anything? And they go, you gotta make yours. I'm like, I don't know how to make Purell. Oh, I can't touch my fucking face. Remember the good old days when washing your hands didn't take 3 hours? Like ABCD. Just take me now. So the mind never wanders too far from, you know, like I'll be talking about all kinds of horse shit up here tonight, but every moment I'll be thinking of this disease.
This plague doesn't scare me.
Just getting away from you guys a little bit more. But it comes at a good time, this, where we're all quarantined, because
the virus.
We know how to live like that, right? We got our fucking magic phones and computers and everything. We don't need no fucking people. It was the last step between us and happiness anyway, we're people. Got the TV and shit. Fucking more interesting people than anybody I know. Listen to fucking First Take. Spend my last moments on Earth with Max Kellerman. Oh, God damn. I can taste the baby laxative in this fucking cocaine. Rolling down the back of my throat. God damn. But I'm old anyway, you know, so if I die, it won't be as much of a tragedy. I'm 68 years young, I like to say. Yeah. You get old and you start worrying anyway, you know. Forget the coronavirus, like that's possible. I said I wasn't going to mention it. I was talking to the manager. He's like, nobody wants to hear about the fucking coronavirus. They come here to not hear about the coronavirus. I'm like, yeah, that's true. But it was a good idea you made. It was a good choice tonight to come out and sit beside total strangers. At least I might be here. I can run, you know? At least I can flee when I see it.
If someone gets infected, you've got between 10 and 20 seconds to kill them. It might be your brother or your sister or your oldest friend. It makes no difference.